Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. It is Eastern Iowa's home of ESPN Radio and great local programming like the one you just heard. And this one, the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock tonight, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM online at kgymradio.com. Presented in our entirety today over the next 3 hours by Randy's Flooring. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years, and you can find out why that's been the case by visiting them in Cedar Rapids or Coralville on the Coralville Strip, randysflooring.com. Absolutely packed show for you today. If they paid overtime in this business, we could probably go until about 8:45, 9 o'clock tonight, just to make our way through everything that happened this past weekend. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, with us tonight at 4:30. Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune back for a return engagement as we deal with the fallout of the Cubs parting ways with Joe Maddon, Major League Baseball's worst-kept secret. And Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register is on the scene with us at 6:05 tonight to chat all things Iowa Hawkeyes. You are welcome to join us on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line as well. The number 319-366-1600. Alex, do you think we could go until 8:45, 9 o'clock tonight if we needed? We can't because Monday Night Football and the Cyclone Sideline Show need to air on our respective frequencies. But if that weren't an object.
Yeah, if those two got canceled somehow, we could do it. We could make it happen today. It was a crazy weekend across many sports, and it started on Saturday, sort of with Iowa and Iowa State, a little bit of a tale of two games. Iowa just trouncing a very, very bad Middle Tennessee team. Iowa State getting started late, but a very, very interesting weekend nonetheless.
Well, let's get down to the brass tacks here, because I'm assuming that a lot of people want to make fun of us for some of our selections last week, including Ohio State and Nebraska.
Yeah.
We were the only two people on the pick six presented by Emil's Hideaway to roll the dice with Nebraska, and it didn't work out for us.
I knew 30 seconds into that game that that was not going to work out for us.
If there were ever a visual representation for the folks in Lincoln about the realities of their situation in 2019, I think that game pretty much is it.
Yeah, the discussion about them being a possible playoff contender prior to the season,
but Alex,
was a joke.
They're back. You can say you're back until you're blue in the face. You're not back.
Define back.
And I said that I was putting them in their own tier last week. They are definitely still in their own tier. Wisconsin had its hands full with Northwestern, but the Badgers able to win that game. Minnesota and Purdue was as entertaining as I think some folks thought it could possibly be. And Purdue is dealing with a ton of injuries right now. That's unfortunate for Jeff Brohm and the Boilermakers. And then you've got Iowa, which we'll hear again from Kirk Ferentz, some of his post-game comments. Also, Davion Nixon, who I thought was pretty entertaining during his time at the podium on Saturday afternoon. The Hawkeyes went out and throttled Middle Tennessee. They paid Middle Tennessee to come north for $1.5 million, and they got every penny of that $1.5 million worth in that victory Saturday.
Talk about a game where I was about three plays in, knowing exactly how my pick was going to go. That 24-point line, I thought to myself, you know what, maybe Middle Tennessee late in this game will have that backdoor cover, but no, it became very clear that there was going to be nobody. Middle Tennessee was not going to be able to stop Iowa's running game, no matter which running back or which offensive line was in the game.
The Hawkeyes looked good, and then a tale of two games on Saturday was able to get back up to the press box at Kinnick Stadium and catch the majority of the first half of Iowa State and Baylor. And boy, Cyclones struggled especially early. And then in the second half, they turned it on. They were able to get some things figured out, especially with Baylor playing a little bit softer. And the next thing you know, comes down to a field goal at the end, and Baylor winds up winning. It shows you the fickle nature of college fandom and sports fandom in general, though, because I did notice that a very small section of Iowa State Twitter was kicking the tires on Riel Mitchell when the Cyclones were down 20 to nothing. It does not take very much in this day and age to get a fan base interested in quickly moving on to bigger and better things in their mind. And of course, those people looked foolish as Brock Purdy led Iowa State to a comeback, led 21-20 momentarily late in the game. And then again, Baylor able to survive and advance at home. And that's a big blow. That loss is a big blow to Iowa State's chances now of playing in the Big 12 championship game, even though there are a lot of games left to be played. They have two wins, two losses, and the two losses are by a combined 3 points. How are you feeling right now if you're an Iowa State football fan? 319-366-1600. And how do you feel if you're an Iowa fan getting ready to go to Ann Arbor this weekend to take on a Michigan team that looks like they could be beatable in the Big House?
For Iowa State, they've taken two gut punch losses, but they have to get right back up off the mat because this next game is now the biggest game of the season and sort of a must win for them. And I think that they should beat TCU. I think they're a better team than TCU, and I don't think that TCU is going to have very much success offensively if Iowa State plays up to their potential defensively. I think they can win this game, but it's not going to be easy, and they have to get past another really devastating loss in order to do it. For Iowa, this is going to answer the question as to whether they're ready for prime time or not. We've seen the flashes of what they can be. I think people believe that they have more offensive talent than they've had in a very long time. I think that's true. It's going to get put to the test, plain and simple. I know that people are down on Michigan, but it's never easy going into the Big House. And then that next week, playing against Penn State, who I might have been completely wrong about, they look pretty darn good.
Well, they better be ready for prime time because we learned today that their next home game, and this was, I don't want to say it was the worst kept secret because nothing was official, but virtually everybody and their brother could have told you that the Iowa-Penn State game had a very realistic shot of being played under the lights at Kinnick Stadium. And lo and behold, that game is a 6:30 kickoff. There is ambiguity as to the TV broadcast at this point, but it is either, as I understand it, going to be ESPN, FS1, or the Big Ten Network, I believe are the three options for a 6:30 kickoff.
You would think that it would be, it wouldn't be on the Big Ten Network, but that is one of the options if it falls back. I would assume it would probably be, you said ABC or FS1?
I think ABC. I may have said ESPN there. There are three options, and much of that will most likely hinge on what happens this weekend in Ann Arbor. Or if Penn State, did not look ahead at the Big Ten schedule this week. Who does Penn State play? If they lose this week, maybe it takes a little bit of the luster.
Penn State plays Purdue this week.
Okay. Well, Iowa and Penn State both win, and they're looking at, obviously, a very enticing Big Ten football matchup in prime time. 319-366-1600, as I'm wading through a slew of Joe Madden tweets on my timeline. We'll get to Madden's ouster in Chicago, as I was mentioning to one of our coworkers here today. That job chews people up and spits it out, regardless of how successful you are. And you've got a legion of Iowa basketball fans who also happen to be Cubs fans noting that Joe Madden was not fired. He got the same treatment that Tom Davis did from Bob Bowlsby back in the day. You can't fire somebody if they're not under contract. do the old pointing to the head meme on Twitter. Joe Maddon now looks to be the front runner to take over for Brad Ausmus in Anaheim, the Angels today, pulling a Rick Renteria. That's firing your manager after 1 year on the job so that you can hire Joe Maddon. But if it's not going to be the Angels, who Maddon worked for 30 years, then I would think San Diego, Philadelphia, and the New York Mets would be in pretty good position as well. The Phillies actually have not fired Gabe Kapler yet, but many people believe that they will. And we haven't even referenced really another huge story nationally today, but that is the fact that the governor of California signed into law Bill 206, which now means that athletes at universities and colleges in the state of California will have to be paid for the use of their name, likeness, or image. This is the state of California calling the NCAA's bluff. And I can't imagine that this would have gotten to this point if there were not an athlete somewhere prepared to take this up in court. That I can't imagine that we would get this far down the road on an issue like this without something else being in the works. But how does this affect the NCAA and how does this affect Iowa or Iowa State? I think there's a ton of questions on this moving forward, but California basically stared the NCAA down. The NCAA was threatening to never have a... Basically, the NCAA was going to pull up stakes and leave California. No events, no championships, and California was like, we're not blinking.
No, and now California puts the ball in the NCAA's court because this doesn't take effect until 2023. So it gives the NCAA time to either respond and change their stance on amateurism, which the NCAA is really the only organization or model that goes by the amateurism label. Even the Olympics has changed their tune on that, saying that it's ridiculous to not allow athletes to make money off of their name. The NCAA can either change their outdated model or have really, really interesting times with the state of California and the large number of big-time programs in that state.
It's going to come down to somebody needing to blink first, but are you really going to move on without UCLA and Cal and some of the other NCAA members and just act as if they don't exist in the state? And what happens if another state follows suit, like a Florida?
South Carolina is already talking about it.
The NCAA is going to have to have a come-to-Jesus moment here, I think. They've been fighting this compensation for a really long time, and you can almost, in reading the words of some of the conference commissioners and people who are against this, you can almost, even without hearing their voice, but you can feel or sense the fear in the words that they are speaking on this issue. They are very worried. What are they worried about? They're worried about having to share their pie. They have a giant mound of money in front of them, and they don't want to share it with anybody. That's basically what it boils down to. And, of course, you have a lot of red herrings that people tend to hide behind here. Yeah, well, this is... I don't know if you saw the statement. I believe it was from the commissioner of the Pac-12, but basically using Olympic sports and women's sports as a shield. And all of a sudden they're worried about how this could possibly affect those. Show me any conference commissioner, any major conference commissioner that has ever had a true concern for anything other than football and, for the most part, basketball. You can't.
Well, and that's true.
Unless it's convenient for them. And in this instance, it's convenient, so now all of a sudden these commissioners are very gravely concerned about Title IX and women's sports and the Olympic sports.
But how does that? It doesn't affect them at all. They can make money too. Like they can make money off of their name too. I know that, of course, the football team, the players on the quarterback for the football team is going to have a little bit more marketability than the women's swimming team. Yes, we know that, but that doesn't mean that athletes from those sports can't make money off of their name.
You don't think that, say, if there were a comic book shop out there or somewhere that wanted to bring Spencer Lee in and have him play
exactly.
Pokemon with everybody and pay him for his time. Spencer Lee, for those of you who are unaware, a University of Iowa wrestler and huge Pokemon fanatic, that last year during her historic season, if Megan Gustafson wanted to, say, do an ad for a local car dealership or do a paid appearance with even this radio station or something, this would open the door for that to be the case. And obviously,
that's all this is. This is not the school paying the player or the athlete.
But it opens Pandora's box, and that's what the athletic directors and that's what the conference commissioners are truly scared of here. Again, they don't want to share their money. Everybody's making money here except for the help.
So you think they're kind of taking the what's next approach? Oh, well, if we let them make money off of their name, they're going to want us to pay them next?
Exactly. It's the slippery slope. And I'm waiting for all of the hot take artists to come in here, and we'll go down that road that this is going to lead to this and that and everything. You can't prove that at this point. And there's enough money to go around, but the problem is the people who have the money want to keep as much of it as they want. I completely understand their side of the equation here. If I had $1 million, I'd have a really hard time sharing it with somebody, even though they may be entitled to part of that. I would want to keep as much of the money as possible. That's what we're dealing with here.
And that's fair, but my question to them in response is, why are you changing the subject by saying that? Because that's not what we're talking about here. We are literally talking about somebody else paying them money.
Because, Alex, it is 2019, and if you can't win the argument, then that's exactly what you do.
You change it subtly.
Change the subject to, but they did this.
Yep.
It's never, you can't, and we went over this last week with Carson King, which, by the way, you can still get your donations in to his Venmo account, over $2 million, right? I think $2.2 million is the last number that I saw. And there's a push across the state of Iowa to get donations in by midnight tonight, which is the cutoff for the matching funds from all of these places. Carson King, who was at the Iowa game on Saturday. And because we can never have anything nice without complaining about something, fans were very upset that he was not featured more on the TV broadcast and not shown on the video board at Kinnick Stadium. I tell you, man, if we could just get through one day without complaining about one thing in our lives, I think it would make the world a much better place. But we just can't. We have to constantly be complaining about something. And believe me, you're holding a mirror in front of the radio right now. You're talking to somebody who works in sports talk radio where complaints, that's our lifeblood. Was it Ghostbusters 2 where the river of slime under New York, everybody, it fed off of the negativity? We live in a Ghostbusters 2 world, and in this business, that's our model. Let's head to the phone lines, though, and bring in John in Columbus Junction. John, I hope you enjoyed George Kittle on Friday night. What's up?
Hey, I thoroughly enjoyed hearing George talk. Are you kidding me? I was giddy as a schoolgirl. Anyway, thanks for taking my call. About this college kids getting paid, I ain't got a problem with it. I think it should have been happening probably 10, 15 years ago, because without the football players, no knocks against basketball, swimming, wrestling, any of that stuff, these major universities wouldn't be collecting these fat, you know, 7-8-figure checks every year. They make the money off of the kids playing ball. I think the athletes should get a cut of that pie. That's all I got for today. Thanks for taking my call as always, fellas.
All right, John. Enjoy the rest of your evening. You can follow him, 319-366-1600.
My question to those that don't like this is just very simple. Why do you not want these kids to be paid by third to make the money that somebody's willing to pay them. Somebody wants to pay them. There are businesses, there are car dealerships, there are restaurants lining up to feature these kids in commercials. Why don't you want them to do it?
Because, Alex, then somebody out there, some unscrupulous person out there who owns a car dealership is going to pay a $50,000 to a recruit to get them to come to, that's the logic.
Yeah, I know, but why do you have a problem with that? Why don't you want them to make that $50,000?
Well, I guess it depends on where that person's making the $50,000. If you're an Iowa fan and they're making it at Ohio State, you're not going to like it. But if that were going on in Iowa City, you probably wouldn't have an issue with it. And that's what it boils down to, is the people who say that this is going to open up Pandora's box for unscrupulous boosters to write all these huge checks. As opposed to right now, which look at college basketball and the corruption scandal there. It's happening now. So this is just a different approach to what's going on. This is bringing in it's shining a light on it. It's bringing it out into the open. And again, obviously this isn't for everybody. You're not going to be a second or third string walk-on left tackle and be offered a huge endorsement deal. But again, if you're the face of the team, if you're one of the better players on the team, you're an Alaric Jackson or a Tristan Wirfs, a guy who's going to be a first-round NFL draft pick most likely, and you get offered an opportunity to publicly endorse something as a college student, this opens the door for them to monetize their likeness. And I guess the issue that I have here is, what changes between that thin blue line of amateurism and professional when you're one way when you're in college, and then suddenly, just because you get drafted into the NFL, all of a sudden things magically change and you're allowed to make money off your likeness? You've always been Noah Fant or T.J. Hockenson. Why couldn't you have been Noah Fant or T.J. Hockenson making money at Iowa as opposed to in Denver and Detroit?
Or even guys like Nigel Hayes. I think Nigel Hayes was one of the first people that brought this up and sparked this conversation, because you remember him at Wisconsin, great college player, never was going to play in the NBA. So his value was super high when he was at Wisconsin, if only he could make money off of his name.
How much money could Brad Banks have made in 2002?
Bingo.
Great college players. Nigel Hayes is an outstanding example of that. Brad Banks, another one. Look at Greg Brunner and Jeff Horner and good basketball players who, they're not going to make it at the next level, but they're uber popular while they're on campus. Give them an opportunity to make a little money. 366-1600. Let's go to the phone lines. They are filling up. 366-1600. We'll start with Adam in Cedar Rapids. Adam, go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Loving the show as always. Longtime listener from the Bravo and Bravo Camp show. First of all, I love this. I think you're totally right about the whole LeBron James and the other guys. But I always look back towards Ed O'Bannon from UCLA and bringing ahead that lawsuit over the fact of the likeness on the video games and all that kind of stuff. But I agree, it is going to open up a Pandora's box. But at the same time, it's your name. Why can't you make the money? Love the show, guys, as always. Comment as always. And Alex Kuhn, you are the man. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Adam, appreciate it as always. Ed O'Bannon, friend of the show.
Friend of the show. And see, Ed O'Bannon, when he was on the show, said something that was unbelievable to me. He told us that EA Sports was willing to pay every single college football player and college basketball player to keep that franchise going. But the NCAA said no. They're willing to do it.
And I don't think people know that. I don't think that was publicized enough, because everybody blames Ed O'Bannon for that video game franchise going away, which there are still people out there who keep that thing alive. They update the rosters every year, and they're still playing the last version made, the EA NCAA football game, which has it been 5 years, 6 years? It's been a long time. since the last version of that game came out. The NCAA was standing in the way of that franchise continuing because EA said, you know what, we make so much money off of this, we got no problem, we'll cut checks. And that's where the NCAA got truly worried. Uh-oh. Nope. They called their bluff. And now it's the state of California calling the NCAA's bluff, and we'll see where it goes from here. Let's head back to the phone lines and go to Jimmy in Solon. Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. These guys in California, that's fine. I mean, all these players deserve a slice of the pie, I believe, but the schools in California have to drop out of the Pac-12. That's for one thing. They need to either form their own conference or go, you know, independent. And it's unfair to the rest of the colleges at this point until everybody jumps in.
All right, Jimmy, thanks for the phone call. We'll see what happens here because obviously there are some issues with this right now for the schools in the state of California as it pertains to the NCAA. And as I understand it, this is any NCAA member, right? Your Division III schools.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have this wholesale, it's like that old Bugs Bunny cartoon where Bugs Bunny is cutting the state of Florida off with the handsaw. California's, I guess in the eyes of the NCAA, cut off from the rest of the world. But as you mentioned, South Carolina is taking this up, other places as well. And if the groundswell is large enough here, then it's going to be a tidal wave and the NCAA doesn't stand a chance.
And that's why I think that there will be more states that follow. And this is just sort of the realizing that the model put in place here. And once again, we are not talking about the schools paying the players. We are talking about the players being able to take the money that people are trying to give them, that businesses are trying to hand to them. People realize it was a bad rule, and one state is trying to get the rest of the country to follow suit and call the NCAA on this bad rule.
Let's get one more phone call in here before a big board update. Richard in Hiawatha. Richard, what are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts on paying athletes? Is that what you're asking?
I'm assuming that's what you were calling in for, yes.
Yes, it is. I'm absolutely against paying athletes in college. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to pay them, get them into a developmental league like basketball and baseball do, and just give them money. And that's fine. But I think colleges are not designed for payola, for, you know, doing that. No. And not only that, but the schools now that will be very excellent football teams are the ones that have the most money. And they'll pay kids, you know, for anything. You know, their likeness on a T-shirt. All right? And if they have enough money, then their kids are going to be very wealthy, and then that's going to be a heck of a recruiting thing for these kids to go to that school. There has to be a place in this world for amateur athletics. Now, you guys bring up the argument about the coaches. Well, there are a few coaches that make a lot of money. And then there are some assistant coaches that make a lot of money. But there are 10 times as many coaches that are not making any money. And as a matter of fact, they're now working at Arby's. All right? Because they just did not get the job. So I'm absolutely against paying kids. It's very dangerous to call into you people because you have the mic last, and that means when I hang up, I'm going to get ripped.
I don't know what programs you listen to, Richard. That's not usually my MO. I'm not going to rip you over that. You're entitled to your opinion, and we appreciate you picking up the phone and giving us a call.
Okay.
All right?
All right, bye.
All right. Now we're going to hang up and we're going to rip on. No, we're not, Richard. I'm kidding. Chris Ash is not going to go work at Arby's, by the way.
No, he'll probably get
$8.7 million, yeah, I think, is what he Richard brings up the only thing, and I hope he doesn't take this as ripping him, but the system that Richard described, where the schools that have money are going to be successful,
that sounds
is
familiar.
Pretty much the current model, right?
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, we're worried about the status quo because, again, the schools that have money right now that are building facilities that have inherent recruiting advantages are, for the most part, the successful schools.
So you're telling me if this changes, football players are going to want to go play at Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State?
By the way, Richard brought up the coaches. Nick Saban is on a national advertising campaign for an insurance company. And how is that kosher in the eyes of the rest of his colleagues? I mean, you want to talk about free recruiting tool, or he's popping up onto TV screens all across the country, schlepping insurance. Not that Kirk Ferentz would be jumping in line to be a national pitch man for whatever insurance company it is, but I guess my point is there are inadequacies in the system now. This opens up a lot of issues moving forward. But as Richard described it, that's the system that we have right now. The schools that have money are, for the most part, successful, and the schools that don't, like Rutgers, are behind the eight ball. This isn't going to change anything in that regard.
No, it'll just give more athletes opportunities to build their brand and make the proper value off of their name that they are entitled to, that they would in an open market, in an open capitalistic market. That's all this would do. I have a roommate who played Division II football. He was a center for a Division II team. He thinks he could have made money in college if this rule was in place. There would have been some pancake house in Rolla, Missouri out there willing to pay him to do some advertisements. This isn't just about the top players. This isn't even just about the revenue sports. I think this is opportunity for all athletes in the NCAA.
You really did hit home there, because I often choose my pancake houses not on the number of syrup options available, but on the opinions of a Division II football player. So
exactly.
I'm the demographic. I'm right there. Hey, you've got the boysenberry syrup, but no Division II football players speaking up for you? No, I'm going to pass on that. 319-366-1600. Richard, I want you to call more often. I hope you understand. We weren't ripping on you there. We didn't rip on you there. I don't know who he's listening to. I mean, the national guys.
We're all about
guys,
open
maybe.
Dialogue here.
But, Richard, I want to hear from you more often. Thank you very much for the phone call. Let's bring Kyle in here before we catch up with John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. Three times a day on the program, we bring you up to speed with a big board update. They are brought to you by a place that knows a thing or two about boards and more, Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
We received a text last week that asked when the Hawkeyes would start winning big against lesser opponents like Iowa State had done to Louisiana Monroe, and the answer to that question turned out to be Saturday against Middle Tennessee State. 358 yards in the first half alone of a 48-3 rout surpassed six game totals from last season, and 644 on the afternoon was the most yards in the Kirk Ferentz era. Nate Stanley had 276 yards, two touchdowns, and still no picks, and three different running backs had over 90 yards rushing, led by Torrin Young with 131 on just 11 carries. The Hawkeyes remain at 14th in this week's AP poll, and I'd like to repeat a stat some of you may have already seen during the broadcast. That's over the last 17 years, 86% of Iowa starters have made it to the NFL as draftees or free agents. It was announced today, by the way, that Iowa's matchup hosting 12th-ranked Penn State has been flexed into primetime, although the network is yet to be determined. We also got the 2-deep for this week's game at Michigan, which featured the returns of Alaric Jackson and Kevon Merriweather. Iowa State had a great fourth quarter comeback spoiled by Baylor and Waco. After trailing 20-0 entering the fourth, the Cyclones scored 21 unanswered, only to fall victim to their own prevent defense and lose 23-20 on a field goal in the final minute. Noah Fant scored his first NFL touchdown yesterday, taking a screen pass 25 yards to the house in a Broncos loss to the Jags. TJ Hockenson, though, suffered a scare after trying to hurdle two defenders. He landed hard on his head and shoulder and appeared to be knocked out cold, but reports today are that the team will not place him on injured reserve, which is encouraging for now. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Steelers hosting the Bengals on Monday Night Football on both our South and North Gym FM frequencies, as well as John Walters hosting the Cyclone Sideline Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
And the Iowa basketball team picked to finish 8th in the preseason poll conducted by the Columbus Dispatch and the Athletic. Hawkeyes finishing anywhere from 4th to 12th on the ballots of voters. Two beat writers from every school participated. Michigan State, 27 of the 28 first place votes.
So we know Iowa is going to play a night game against Penn State. It could be the ABC game of the week. People are asking if College Game Day has a chance to come
Stop.
To Iowa City.
Stop.
I'm just going to say it right now. That's not going to happen because the Red River rivalry is that weekend. So not going to happen.
Yeah, we did the game day thing once already this year, people. Can we please move on? 4:38, we need to take a quick timeout. Emphasis on quick. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, probably wondering where our phone call is. We will catch up with him, and he'll join us next, courtesy of Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship Partner. Back after this.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stocker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly, so there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
4:40, we welcome you back in. Better late than never. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. With you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. And if you were listening to 1600 AM on Saturday afternoon, you heard a pretty entertaining football game. I didn't say it was going to make you happy if you were an Iowa State fan, but Cyclones put up a fight in the second half and almost came away with a big road win over Baylor. As it is, they now go into the TCU game at 2-2 on the season. With us now, courtesy of Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship Partner, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, Mr. John Walters. And John, I'm assuming even though the outcome was not to your liking, you were probably happy to get back to a little more temperate climate here in Iowa.
It was nice to get back. That's for sure. Very, very warm down there, and I can't complain too much. This press box is air-conditioned, and it wasn't a real struggle for me. Those guys, that had to be very difficult to do. And, that's part of life in the Big 12. You're going to play in Texas frequently, and Oklahoma, and those places get very hot, especially in September. It's not unusual to see those kind of conditions.
What did Matt Campbell attribute to the slow start offensively, and then what changed for that team late in the third quarter, then going into the fourth quarter, that allowed them to come back?
Well, I think they moved the ball pretty well in the first half at times. They consistently, it was kind of like the Iowa game in a lot of ways for those first three quarters, and that they kept on getting the ball into Baylor territory. And then drives would just stall out right in no man's land again around the 35-yard line, where it's, you know, it's too far to really have a realistic shot at a field goal. But that seemed to be where their drive stalled out again, just like it did against Iowa. And so, you know, we got to find a way to finish those drives and get some points. And, you know, just one little mistake here or there seems to derail them in those situations. And they've got to find a way to fight through that. You know, they're struggling to get a running back ground game established. At least they did against Baylor. Thought that had been a pretty good plus through the first three games. But, you know, other than Johnny Lang, a running back didn't really run the ball very well. And part of that obviously goes with the offensive line trying to create some holes for those guys. But I thought Johnny did some good things. That's something that's going to have to improve. But then in the in the fourth quarter, you know, they did figure some things out. Brock Purdy made some plays. One thing I really like about this team is that they're not going to stop playing. You know, it didn't look good when it was 20-0 entering the fourth quarter, but they just kept plugging. You know, and not only did they come back, they came all the way back and took a lead and had a chance to win the football game. And I would absolutely put my stock in sending your defense out there to try to close the deal and win that football game, which is exactly what they did. And, you know, to Baylor's credit, they've got a really good quarterback, made a lot of plays, and they made some really good catches in that final drive, and the guy made the kick. And so, you know, they're a good team too, and they're certainly going to be an upper division team, I think, in the Big 12 Conference. And it was a game that I thought would be just about a toss-up, would probably come down to the final seconds, and that's exactly what happened. And unfortunately, Iowa State didn't end up on the right end of it. But I do like the fight in this team. I like the way they battled back. And now they just got to find a way to carry that over and come out and fight just as hard this week.
3 points keeping this team from being 4-0 at this point going into the TCU game. Where is their mindset after those two narrow losses, first to Iowa and then now to Baylor?
You know, it's a good question. I don't know the answer, not being in that locker room. I mean, the responses from the guys to the media, I thought were good, but it's really hard to judge just from that. Hopefully in a good spot. I mean, I think they know their potential is still there. The one thing that has to really change is turnovers. You know, that Iowa State has not been great at forcing turnovers this season. They forced 3, but they were all in the Louisiana Monroe game, and 2 of them were after the game was basically over. And they had their backup quarterback in there, and he kind of threw it right to Iowa State a couple times. So, I mean, you know, essentially with games in the balance, you know, they've forced 1 turnover, I would say, this season. And then, you know, they've turned it over 7 times, and each of those turnovers were with games in the balance. And so, you know, because the 2 against Monroe were on the first 2 possessions, so the game was, you know, it wasn't decided at that point. So, critical situations, you're looking at essentially a 7-1 turnover ratio. You know, that's not good, and you're not going to win a lot of games when that's the case. And so that's an area that really has to somehow get cleaned up, and a lot of it's luck. You know, I mean, you know, Brock Purdy gets the ball knocked out of his hands, they recover it. Their quarterback gets the ball knocked out of his hands, it bounces like a basketball right back to him. He doesn't even break stride and runs for 7 yards. So, I mean, every once in a while, the ball just kind of has to bounce your way too, but hopefully that will start turning this week.
Does it ever shock you how calm Brock Purdy is, even in the face of adversity and pressure? Because it almost looks at times like he's nonchalant. He's not, but it looks that way sometimes.
Yeah, I love the competitive fire in that guy, and I like his confidence. And I think those are the 2 ingredients that add up to what you're talking about. He always is a very optimistic guy that feels like something good is going to happen. And he also has a lot of confidence in his own abilities, and he should. He's a very good player. He's having another terrific season, and, you know, you always feel like you're in a game with him as the quarterback. Even 20-0, you know, you knew that there was a chance that Brock could bring you back, and he did. And he's that kind of player and a great, great leader. You know, we talked on TV about how he talked to the team at the half. They were actually kind of critical of that. I don't know why you would be critical of a captain talking to the team at halftime and trying to get guys fired up and ready to go. I think that's pretty much what a captain is supposed to do. So, you know, I love Brock. I love everything about him, his demeanor,
John Walter is joining us, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, brought to you by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. Cyclones back at it 11 a.m. against TCU at Jack Trice Stadium this weekend. We invite you to tune in beginning at 9 a.m. on 1600 a.m. TCU, always a tough out. This, to me, appears to be another game with two kind of evenly matched teams here.
Yeah, I think you know, when Iowa State lost to TCU a year ago down in Fort Worth, it was the conference opener. Iowa State hadn't quite figured out its offense yet. Brock Purdy had not entered the lineup. They lost a close game, a one-possession game. And then TCU didn't go on to have the kind of season that at that point it looked like they might. They had a lot of injuries, and their season kind of went off the rails a little bit for them, especially given their history. I think both teams are better right now than they were when they met a year ago down in Fort Worth. TCU coming off a really good win against Kansas. They dominated that football game, completely blew out Kansas. And both quarterbacks were very sharp in that game. They're still, I still think that's a bit of a question mark for them. How good can those quarterbacks be? But they were both very good that day. And then their defense is always good, and that's a Gary Patterson staple. And so, you know, it's going to be a very, very competitive game, another really good game, and an important game for Iowa State. I mean, if you look at the season as a whole, you know, you've got two road games coming up after this, so, two more long road trips right after this. Games that are winnable, for sure, including this weekend. But you're going to have to find a way to win the close ones. You know, we talked on your show even before the season about Iowa State's going to be in a lot of close games. I'm not surprised that they have been. But right now they're 1-2 in those close games. And they've lost, as you said, two games by a total of 3 points. And they'll go back to the bowl game a year ago. They lost by 2 points. And so, you know, they got to find a way to be the team that gets over the hump in those situations. And that's a lot easier said than done, because two teams are out there trying to do that. But if they're going to have a great season, it's going to take that. It's going to take winning those close games, because I think there's a lot more of them coming up on Iowa State's schedule.
When I looked at the Baylor matchup, I thought to myself, this might be one of the more, outside of Oklahoma State and Oklahoma and Texas, this might be one of the toughest matchups for Iowa State's defense because of Charlie Brewer, their outstanding quarterback. Does this sort of seem like a better matchup for John Haycock's defense? Because, like you said, Max Dugan, the Lewis Central product, is just a freshman. Alex Delton, the transfer from Kansas State, more of a runner. They're just not able to complete passes at a very high rate.
Yeah, they on paper, yes, I agree with that. They did throw it extremely well against Kansas, and they ran it a ton and ran it really well against Kansas. And so, you know, you don't want to put too much stock into that. It's one game, but their offense was really clicking. I think they had 38 points at halftime. They looked great. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what they really are. I mean, I think Duggan's going to be an outstanding player, very highly recruited. Certainly that game had to give him a lot of confidence, and really he played well against SMU. He started out, he was 1-for-10 in the first half, his first career start, in a tough environment, crosstown rival, and, you know, making your first career start as a true freshman in a rivalry game when the other quarterback was Shane Bouchel, who's a talented and very veteran quarterback. You know, it's kind of amazing, given all that TCU was right in that game at the very end, had an opportunity to win it at the end. But Duggan really struggled in the first half, then played really well in the second half, and then he played great this past week. So, you know, that could be really trending in a positive direction for him. But absolutely, Brewer is just a very talented, experienced quarterback, and you knew it was going to be tough against him. There's no question, and he was going to do for Baylor what Brock does for Iowa State. And so, you know, on paper, hopefully this is a little bit better matchup for Coach Haycock's defense. But TCU is so good on special teams and in some other areas, and what they do defensively, that, you know, you're going to have to play well in a lot of areas to beat this team. That's the thing about Gary Patterson's teams, that they're not going to beat themselves. You're going to have to find a way to go out and beat them. So, you know, the onus is on Iowa State to figure some of those things out this week.
Big show coming up tonight from the Applebee's in Ames. Who you got with you tonight, John?
Yeah, we're going to have Kevin Dresser on for the first 45 minutes of the show. Kevin's really excited about the season. I think a lot of Iowa State people are excited about the season. They've already eclipsed the record for season tickets sold for wrestling, and you know, there's still several weeks to go before the season starts, so they want to obliterate that record. And so a lot of people are excited about what's going on with Kevin. And then Matt Campbell's going to be along in the final 45 minutes of the show. So looking forward to a good show tonight, and I hope fans are able to listen and then tweet some questions to us with hashtag SideCorner.
All right. Thank you so much, John, and we look forward to talking about a big victory over TCU with you next Monday.
That sounds great to me. Thanks for having me, guys.
We always have John on. We never mention his Twitter handle. For those of you who don't give him a follow already, you can do so at JWCyclonesTV. John's appearance every Monday, presented by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. And the more I watch Iowa State, the more I'm convinced that they share DNA with Iowa, because now you are in this boat where you're playing close games, you're winning some, you're losing some, it's frustrating, and the defense is tremendous, and the offense just couldn't get anything going in the first half, and I'm sure the heat had something to do with that, but how many times have we seen an Iowa team basically, especially early in the season, fight those same battles where the defense is there, you're just begging the offense to put 14 points on the board and win you the darn game. And I think that's where Iowa State is at right now. And they rallied the troops, they took the lead, and then Baylor, with a kid who'd never made a field goal before, winds up walking away with a two-point win.
John Mayers.
John Mayers, and yes, there were plenty of jokes to be made on social media.
He knew the gravity of the situation. And
look at this. This guy's been sitting over at his desk in the corner all day coming up with John Mayer jokes.
He's not waiting on the world to change.
Yeah, I saw that one on Twitter on Saturday.
That was Dan Wolken. I credit people for their great John Mayer puns.
Makes you better than Hawkeye Heaven. 319-366-1600. We need to take a quick timeout, and when we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for a packed 5 o'clock hour as we turn our attention from the college side of things to professional sports. Back after this.
The word taxes probably makes you cringe. Hi, I'm Craig Adamson. Creating a tax avoidance strategy now gives you the best opportunity to beat Uncle Sam at his own game. Let's sit down and chat before December 31st so you can be the winner on tax day. Contact me at TrueWealthStewardship.com to get started.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial planning offered through True Wealth Stewardship, a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL Financial.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Okay, you know how it feels when you've saved enough for that long-awaited home addition? Now imagine an addition on that addition. Whoa. That's the feeling with Capital One, where a new savings account earns an interest rate 5 times the national average. That's right, 5 times, as represented by 5 times more singers. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Rate comparison based on FDIC national rate. Capital One NA, member FDIC.
Can you feel it? Football season is upon us. Whether you're road tripping to the game or throwing around the pigskin with your pals, you want to make the most of it. So make the most of it with Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oil. It's the first motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. It's kind of like an offensive lineman for your engine. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Exxon and Mobil present How to Be Supremium. First, fill your tank with Exxon and Mobil's Supremium Fuel, new Synergy Supreme Plus. It keeps your engine two times cleaner for better gas mileage. Then get the rest of your car two times cleaner. My rims are so shiny they can be seen from space. I saw pictures. So clean your engine with new Exxon and Mobil Synergy Supreme Plus. It's supreme. It's premium. It's Supremium. Fill up today or go to Exxon.com for details.
Synergy Supreme Plus gas compared to Synergy regular gas and poor fuel injected engines. Benefits based on continuous use and may vary.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
4:58, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Mondays by Randy's Flooring. They've got a wide variety of pet and child-friendly flooring options for you parents out there, both of the two-legged and four-legged variety. You can learn more about their offerings at randysflooring.com, and you can learn more about what's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, we're going to kick things off with Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. He joins us tonight at 5:02. The Cubs officially parting ways with manager Joe Maddon. Doesn't look like he'll be out of work for long, but who's going to fill his shoes? We'll ask Mark in just a few minutes. And are the Chicago Bears better off without Mitch Trubisky at quarterback? An interesting Sunday around the NFL, including Bears-Vikings at Soldier Field. That's all in store coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, and it's right around the corner. Back with more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, the Angels fired manager Brad Ausmus after just one season, one where the team finished fourth in the AL West. Speculations that Joe Maddon could replace Ausmus. Maddon, who parted ways with the Cubs yesterday, was a coach with the Angels from 1993 to 2005 and is held in high regard by team owner Artie Moreno. Maddon is said to be highly interested in the Angels opening. Vontaze Burfict's helmet-to-helmet hit on Colts tight end Jack Doyle yesterday has resulted in a season-long suspension from the NFL for the Raiders linebacker. The suspension does include the playoffs. The discipline doled out to Burfict for repeated violations of unnecessary roughness rules. Considering Burfict's history, he may have played his final game in the NFL, says ESPN's Stephen A. Smith.
When you look at Vontaze Burfict, and it's not about being suspended for the year. It's about the fact that this move right here could have ended his NFL career, because if people barely wanted you a few months ago, why the hell are they going to want you now?
Burfict will appeal. Broncos linebacker Bradley Chubb will have season-ending surgery on a partial ACL tear.
Coming up Tuesday, taking a look at the Monday Night Football divisional matchup between the Steelers and the Bengals. Plus, we give our quarter poll superlative. Spoiler alert, nothing for Vontaze Burfict. And it's postseason time in Major League Baseball. Golden and Wingo Tuesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7 come January of 2020. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. We tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced, and that way they know and the options are out there for them. Just call and say, I know I need to upgrade to Windows 10. Don't know where to start.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. It's gonna be the best day ever. Member FDIC.
Save big money on your fall home improvement projects now during Menards' Oktoberfest sale. Get more storage space with Dakota Shelving. Bullnose Shelving has one finished rounded edge and is perfect for laundry rooms, pantries, and closets. 11 1/4 inch deep by 4 foot long bullnose shelves in white or oak are only $199 each after sale price and rebate. Save on all of your projects during Menards' Oktoberfest sale, going on now through October 12th.
Save big money at Menards.
503, welcome back in. The Todd Brumel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Mondays by Randy's Flooring, a proud partner of the Uisted Family Children's Hospital. You can learn more about how select purchases at Randy's directly benefits the hospital at randysflooring.com. Plenty more to get to until 7 o'clock tonight. We'll get to a busy weekend in the NFL coming up at 5:30, including some Bears chatter with regard to Mitch Trubisky and how they looked against the Vikings. But first, the biggest story in Major League Baseball over the weekend. The writing was on the wall even before the Saturday night wine summit between Theo Epstein and Joe Maddon. Maddon out as manager of the Cubs after a successful five-year run. What's next for the Chicago Cubs and Theo Epstein? With us now on the line to discuss that and more, Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune, who was just with us not all that long ago. And Mark, let's go ahead and start with the obvious question. What do we know at this point with Joe Maddon no longer in the picture? Theo Epstein finishing up a news conference within the last couple hours.
Well, the search will formally start next week when they start interviewing candidates. But right now, they have a broad sheet of candidates. Theo did acknowledge that David Ross is on the list. He didn't go into great details, but you can assume that Mark Loretta, the bench coach for this year, will be interviewed. There'll be others and perhaps one off a team in the playoffs right now. But he hopes this process will move smoothly. But knowing Theo, this could last into Halloween. So we'll have to see where it goes. But he did acknowledge David Ross, who's be a perfect fit here. But Theo's very exhausted in this search. So you can expect this to probably be drawn out for at least a few weeks. So I wouldn't assume it's going to be David Ross, but yeah, he'd be on the short list.
I know a lot of people have automatically gravitated toward him. It sounds like Theo Epstein wants somebody who's going to give this team a little bit of a kick in the rear end when it needs it, that maybe that was one of the problems that Joe had this year. Could David Ross, a guy who's been teammates with half of that locker room, really be that type of guy?
Yes, he can, and I saw it firsthand in one of his first workouts in 2015. There was a botched rundown during a workout. It was by Anthony Rizzo, and David stopped the workout, got on Rizzo's case, and Rizzo acknowledged he was at fault, and the drills proceeded without any further incident. And that's just one of many examples that I think David exemplifies in terms of his leadership and his ability to put down his foot if he sees something wrong. And that was like one of his first three workouts with the Cubs. So, you know, he didn't know many of those guys other than John Lester. He did know Anthony because they share the same agent, but give David a lot of credit for putting down his foot. Now, he's going to have to do more than just that. He's going to have to manage a team that we still don't know at this point how it's going to look. There's going to be changes, not only on the roster, but probably the coaching staff, and he's going to have to deal with a lot of the guys he worked with hands-on in the front office and the analytics department and some of the support staff as far as the minor league people and referring to them in terms of call-ups and all that. So it's a wide encompassing job that the next manager will have on his hands.
How introspective has Theo Epstein been in the face of having to make this change and go a different direction in the current state of this roster?
It was very interesting because he was asked many times in many forms about the accountability
of the players on the roster, and in my eyes, the lack of accountability. And I think he felt that, in his own words, that, you know, maybe these guys needed some pats in the back more, or maybe some kicks in the rear. And I thought more of the latter, but he admitted that perhaps he trusted these guys too much. And I've always advocated that he should have made changes after last year, because it was a second straight year that many of these guys regressed. But he had a lot of faith in these guys, a lot of these guys that were drafted under his watch. And you saw what happened this year. They regressed. And I think it's unfair to blame it all on Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon didn't draft these guys. And a lot of these young guys on this roster have input on what goes on, which I think is dangerous, because they still have a lot to prove. So Theo did say that he'd probably talk to a few of these guys on how they can improve. But as far as the manager goes, I think you got to be very careful in terms of who you listen to.
Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune with us, talking Joe Maddon and more. A lot has been reported that there was a fissure between Theo Epstein and Joe Maddon. How much is there to that, Mark?
There are kernels of truth to that. Quite a few. You alluded to that earlier, where they wanted somebody who was more assertive, more of a verbal guy. That's not Joe's style. He will convey when a guy needs a kick in the rear through his bench coach or another coach, or even pull a guy aside and say, hey, listen, you could do better than that. There were an instance where in New York, before they had to face Stroman, Syndergaard, and DeGrom, that he implored the hitters, hey, you got to step up. We need you to do things a certain way, and it worked. But there were also, you know, disagreements and theories on hitting. Joe wasn't a big launch angle guy. Theo thought it still existed, but the truth is that the Cubs were guilty of not hitting runners in scoring position during that nine-game losing streak. I believe they were 10 for 58, so Joe was proven to be right there. So, there were some issues there, but the bottom line is Theo felt that they needed a different guy going forward.
It was interesting to see the Los Angeles Angels fire Brad Ausmus after 1 year, of a move that leads you to wonder if they know something. But when you look at where Joe may land, how big of a bidding war are you expecting? How many teams do you think may be involved?
Well, I think at least four. You know, you look at the Angels situation, which you referred to today, and Joe's roots are with the Angels. He has very, very, very deep roots in the Angels system. He speaks fondly of his years there, even before Artie Moreno took over as the owner. I think Artie's fond of Joe, but, you know, Joe, again, there's a nice spot for him in San Diego if they reach out to him. I think Joe would do well in San Diego. And then there's the East Coast, you know, the Phillies and Mets, as we speak, as far as I know, haven't made a change yet, but you got to think, Joe would love to be on the big stage in New York with the Mets and having a very, very good starting rotation there to work with. And then there's the Phillies that have a slightly younger team with a star right fielder, and not too far from his hometown of Hazleton, where he'd be a star attraction there. And then Joe likes challenges, you know, playing in the East, you know, going up against the Nats and the Braves. With a young upcoming team, it's kind of similar to what he inherited with the Cubs. So if the East Coast teams have openings, then he's really going to be an attractive candidate in more than just one or two spots.
Mark, Theo Epstein today said he's never believed in untouchables. He wasn't talking about Elliot Ness. Do you really believe him when he's hinting at maybe exploring a trade market for Chris Bryant or even a Javier Baez this offseason?
Absolutely. I think he has to. They're at that point where the farm system hasn't produced high-ceiling pitching, homegrown pitching, or a sufficient amount of impact starting position players. So therefore, they got to go out and see what's best, because they're in a dangerous area right now. You saw what the Cardinals did with the homegrown pitching staff. They're going to be good for several years. The Brewers, even though their farm system's pretty much gutted like the Cubs, they're on the up and up, and they have perhaps the majors, the second best player maybe in Christian Yelich, and they still won without him, which is a tribute to what they're doing. Unlike the Cubs, who staggered to third place, and the Brewers still have some pretty good young pitchers in Woodruff and Burns and Peralta. You know, they're all under 25, and they have a promising future. So this is a dangerous area for the Cubs, and they got to get younger and better. So you'd have to think about exploring trades, even if it hurts if you trade a Bryant or Baez, because that's the position they're in. The worst thing you do is have a team that underachieves with young talent or just gets older and stagnant.
So having said all that, you mentioned the farm system and the lack of pitching depth. Has it reached sort of a must-address situation at this point?
Absolutely. I just think that you look at the miles on the starting rotation right now. You look at John Lester, who's got at least 1 year left, and you know he's going to be 36 next year. Cole Hamels is a free agent. He'll be 36. And then you got Jose Quintana, who gave up a lot of hits this year. He was very inconsistent, and you know he's got that option for $10.5 million. They're going to have to sit back and see if it's worth picking up. And then you got to figure you're going to have to fill a spot from within, whether it be Adbert Azale or Alec Mills, and there's somebody else, Tyler Chatwood, I'm leaving out. So starting pitching is more important than I think I originally believed, because it wasn't a separator, as Theo Epstein said.
Mark, before we let you go, and again, we do appreciate the time today. You worked closely with Joe Maddon over the last 5 years. I'm sure you have a story, maybe nothing too personal, but a memory that you'll have of Joe Maddon moving forward.
Oh, I just remember the World Series parade. I was lucky enough to be sitting like in the second row or standing in the second row, and I had my camera with me, and he was holding the trophy, and he had his T-shirt that he unveiled that said, "We did not suck." He saw me with the camera, opened his jacket, and posed for me, holding up the trophy and displaying the shirt. So I think that's probably the memory that stands out most, that throughout all the criticism he got during the World Series, here he was with the trophy.
Mark, appreciate it as always. Your timeline on Twitter, a tremendous resource for Cubs fans who didn't get to follow along with the news conference today. Thank you so much.
Take care, guys.
Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. You can give him a follow at MD Gonzalez. And interesting times, to say the least. Who would have thought that after that parade in 2016, 3 years later, you would see the organization moving on from him? Technically not fired. His contract was not renewed. You can choose to view that either way you want, but he's going to be a highly sought-after free agent. And Mark hit on the reasons why he could wind up in New York. He hit on the reasons he could wind up in Philadelphia. But I think at this point, the leaders in the clubhouse have to be the Angels and the Padres, and we'll see ultimately what Joe winds up doing, but he's going to do his due diligence, and it'd be great to see him back in an Angels uniform, an organization that he spent 30 years working for, passed through Cedar Rapids here a number of times as a minor league instructor at the old Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Padres present an excellent opportunity for him to go and do the same thing that he did in 2015 with the Cubs, and that's take over a team with a good mix of veteran players, guys like Eric Hosmer. Will Myers, I think, is still under contract there, and then a really good young core of players, Fernando Tatis, Chris Paddock, and get them to take that next step forward. You got the Dodgers in the National League West. That would be a challenge. David Ross, that was an interesting anecdote that he shared there about David Ross, because my biggest concern with David Ross is the fact that it's really hard from going from being an equal to viewing somebody as an authority figure.
Right.
And this is a guy, they lovingly referred to him as Grandpa Rossi. He was a popular teammate. What's going to happen when you're riding a 7-game losing streak in April and the manager comes in and wants to have a Bull Durham moment where he's calling you lollygaggers and trying to light a fire, and all you can think of is back on your time as teammates with him and your buddy. But Mark says David Ross commands the respect of the clubhouse and did so as a player. I think it's his job if he wants it, and he's indicated that he seems to be willing to listen. Other names that I would certainly keep an eye on, Josh Bard, who's the bench coach for the New York Yankees right now, played for Theo Epstein in Boston for, I think it was a year or two with the Red Sox. His name is coming up in managerial searches. Mark DeRosa, MLB Network, former Cubs player. I don't know about that. Joe Espada, who is the bench coach in Houston, replaced Alex Cora, interviewed for four jobs last year and didn't get any of them, which I find to be interesting, but I think he's going to be in the mix there as well. And this is of zero consequence here, but Espada passed through the Midwest League back in 1996, and his manager in the A's organization that year, former Cubs manager Mike Quatty. Not that that would be held against him in the interview process. The one name that keeps coming up, though, Alex, I just don't see it happening, is Joe Girardi.
No, I think that's so 2017, 2018.
In this day and age, I think, especially with what Theo Epstein has said he's looking for in a manager, I just don't think those two guys would be on the same page. And it's B.J. Armstrong, Chuck Long. It's Iowa fans wanting somebody who was an Iowa player. It's
right.
Cubs fans looking and going, Joe Girardi is a Northwestern guy. He's a Chicago guy, former Cubs player. Bring him back home. I just, bad mix, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's going to be David Ross. If he is able to be that kind of authority figure, I think it's going to be him. I think Theo is looking for his Aaron Boone. He's looking for that guy that can step in, who maybe didn't have the managerial experience, who everybody on that team likes, but also respects. Who is, you catch him in viral video moments calling his players savages while yelling at the umpire. That is the type of manager I think he's looking for, that you don't have to go out and pay $6 or $7 million. You'd have to pay Joe Girardi $6 million. You could get David Ross for probably half that. I think it's going to be David Ross.
I think with that clubhouse and that mix of players, you've got to go with somebody that has experience playing the game at the highest level. I think if you went with a Joe Espada or somebody that had played baseball in the minor leagues but never made it to the major leagues, a Mike Schilt type, I don't think that would get the job done with the current Cubs roster. And so that's why I lean toward a Josh Bard, a David Ross. Basically, pick your favorite backup catcher from the last 15 years in Major League Baseball and insert them into the
Where's
mix.
Where's Michael Barrett these days?
Don't bring him. I think Michael Barrett and A.J. Pierzynski. 319-366-1600. Our poll question today, by the way, at KGYMRadio.com. Did the Cubs do the right thing in moving on from Joe Maddon? Right now, 100% of the responses say yes. And it is possible to view this as Joe Maddon being the most successful manager in that franchise's history, but to also understand that a new voice was needed. And quite frankly, I think Theo Epstein made the right call here. Now it's incumbent on him to get somebody in there that's going to maybe rekindle that fire a little bit. And Joe Maddon is a tremendous manager. He did have some issues with bullpen usage in the 2016 World Series. A lot of people will say that the Cubs won in spite of how he used the bullpen. And then after 2016, there are certainly questions about how he handled some of the team and decision-making. But he's a good manager. And a manager in this day and age has to worry about personalities as much as anything, because many of the baseball decisions are made by spreadsheets and computers. And I don't think anybody in baseball can manage personalities better than Joe Maddon can. He's very laid back. He's very, you guys do your own thing. And that worked until they won the World Series. And then maybe there was a little sense of complacency. And those young players that needed somebody to believe in them, they morphed into veterans. And veterans sometimes need somebody to give them a swift kick in the rear end. And that's just, wasn't Maddon's personality type. But I do think Theo Epstein deserves to look in the mirror. He certainly needs to call into question the ownership and the allocation of resources. But Joe Maddon didn't put that roster together this season. Joe Maddon didn't decide to not sign Craig Kimbrell until after the All-Star break, because there was draft pick compensation tied to it and it was going to save them a little bit of money in the long run. Those are decisions made by ownership and by the front office. So this is as much on Theo Epstein as it is on anybody else, his roster construction. And now he's got to go out and he's got to find the right guy, because I do think the window is still open here. I don't think the team is ever going to be as strong as it was in 2016, but they still have a chance to win games here for the next couple years. Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, Anthony Rizzo.
You can't trade Javier Baez, can you?
He says there's no such thing as an untouchable. I would say Javier Baez is pretty close to untouchable.
I think so, too.
The time is now on Chris Bryant. He's got 2 years remaining before he's a free agent. His agent is Scott Boras. There certainly is no love lost between Boras and the Cubs organization with regard to how Bryant's service time was handled when he was first brought to the major leagues. And there's a little bit of an injury concern here now with Chris Bryant. The shoulder, some of the other body parts. Maybe he gets maximum value on the trade market this offseason. And if you wait too long, suddenly you're holding on to an asset that has depreciated. And that's how we talk about professional athletes in 2019, as assets. But that's what they are.
That's how teams talk about them. Is Kyle Schwarber's value back up to a point where you think they'd be comfortable kicking the tires on him with an American League team?
Yes, I mean,
he had a career year. Going to the American League, I think, would probably be the best thing for him. And now that they built that value back up, you would think they would jump on any offer that was to their liking.
I completely agree with that. I think you explore everything at this point if you're Theo Epstein. How you feel, Cubs fans, about not only the end of the Joe Maddon era, but the possible beginning of the David Ross era? 319-366-1600. This is Major League Baseball's version of Black Monday today. We've seen another firing, Clint Hurdle of the Pittsburgh Pirates, whom The Athletic reported last week was going to return next season, which certainly had me scratching my head. But it turns out that the Pirates have other thoughts now. So Mitch Keller is going to have a new manager in his second year in the major leagues next year. And Brad Ausmus fired today by the Angels. That would certainly seem to indicate that they feel that they would have a shot at landing Joe Maddon's services. He still owns a house in Long Beach, which is not too far away from Anaheim. 30 years as a player, instructor, and coach in that organization before he left the Angels to take over as the manager in Tampa Bay. Would he want to go home? I think it's going to be an intriguing option for him. I think San Diego's, man, if I were in his shoes, I would be reaching out to A.J. Preller, the general manager in San Diego, and kicking the tires on that job. And his mom is still alive. She still lives in Hazleton. Does he want to be close to home and close to his mom? Because he could very well be the next manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. And then what Mark Gonzalez said, imagine Joe Maddon, who's managed in Tampa and then in Chicago on a relatively big stage. How about the biggest stage of all, New York City? And granted, it's the number two franchise in that city. He's not going to be with the Yankees. But New York, New York. I hear they have a lot of fine Italian restaurants there. John's being one of them, if I remember my Pinstripe Bowl trip correctly. He'd fit in well. 319-366-1600-526. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get you a big board update and move from baseball to the National Football League. A lot of topics to cover there, but a big one in Chicago, because the Bears, did they not look better without Mitch Trubisky running the offense yesterday? 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that
that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-True makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Workhorses run with us on a John Deere Gator and power through any job, anytime. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer today to save big on select utility vehicles like the Gator XUV 835M, now available for $500 off, or get $300 off the Gator XUV 590E. So what are you waiting for? Hurry into your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
5:30 on the dot. We welcome you back in the halfway point of another Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home of ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, and online at kgymradio.com. If you missed anything from today's show, either the first 90 minutes or the 90 minutes to come, we'll have the podcast available for you shortly after we're off the air tonight, again online at kgymradio.com. Before we turn our attention to the NFL and the weekend that was, and the game still to come tonight, we do have that for you between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. We bring Kyle into the studio 3 times a day. He gets you up to speed with a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can find him at 420th Street in Iowa City. Also, the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
We received a text last week that asked when the Hawkeyes would start winning big against lesser opponents like Iowa State had done to Louisiana Monroe, and the answer to that question turned out to be Saturday against Middle Tennessee State. 358 yards in the first half of a 48-3 rout surpassed 6 game totals from last season, and 644 on the afternoon was the most yards in the Kirk Ferentz era. Nate Stanley had 276 yards, 2 touchdowns, and still no picks, and 3 different running backs had over 90 yards rushing, led by Torrin Young with 131 yards on just 11 carries. The Hawkeyes remain at 14th in this week's AP poll, and I'd like to repeat a stat that some of you may have seen during the broadcast, but that's over the last 17 years, 86% of Iowa starters have made it to the NFL as draftees or free agents. It was announced today, by the way, that Iowa's matchup hosting 12th-ranked Penn State has been flexed into a primetime slot, although the network is yet to be determined. We also got the two-deep for this week's game at Michigan, which featured the returns of Alaric Jackson and Kevon Merriweather. Iowa State had a great fourth-quarter comeback spoiled by Baylor and Waco. After trailing 20-0 entering the fourth, the Cyclones scored 21 unanswered, only to fall victim to their own prevent defense and lose 23-20 on a field goal in the final minute. Noah Fant scored his first NFL touchdown yesterday, taking a screen pass 25 yards to the house in a Broncos loss to the Jags. T.J. Hockenson, though, suffered a scare after trying to hurdle two defenders and landed hard on his head and shoulder, appearing to be knocked out cold. Reports today, though, are that the team's not going to place him on IR, which is about as encouraging as we could hope for. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Steelers hosting the Bengals on Monday Night Football on both our South and North Jim FM frequencies, as well as John Walters hosting the Cyclone Sideline Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
319-366-1600, the Hertied and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use that to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Hertied and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. Stop by and check out those famous windows on the Ped Mall in Iowa City, and don't mind the construction. I was there last week, spent a little bit of time in downtown Iowa City prior to Kirk Ferentz's news conference, and get around very easily down there, even though it looks like it's a giant mess. It actually isn't. Let's get on to the NFL. We haven't really touched on the happenings from yesterday around the league. We, of course, have to talk about the Bears and the Vikings, don't we?
Yeah.
Because something interesting happened in that game yesterday. Mitchell Trubisky went out early with an injury, and Chase Daniel, the former Missouri quarterback, came on in relief and immediately led the Bears down the field for a score. And you have people, in retrospect, looking at that game last night saying, you know what? The Bears actually looked better without their supposed franchise quarterback on the field. Did they? 319-366-1600. Is there a quarterback controversy in Chicago? This is what talk radio is all about, right?
See, you just asked two questions, and I would answer differently to both of them.
Ooh, boy. We've got conflict.
You said,
this is it.
Did they look better with Chase Daniel than they did with Mitchell Trubisky? The answer is yes.
Agreed.
The second question is, is there a quarterback controversy? The answer is no.
Agreed. I just said the quiet part out loud again. Oh, I took all the air out of the discussion.
No, because Bears fans, Vikings fans, quarterback, these rosters are ready to win. These rosters have all the ingredients to win. And the Bears defense is going to give them every chance to win every single game that they play. And their offense has, playmakers. Mitch Trubisky has been terrible, and you have to play him because you're not winning a Super Bowl with Chase Daniel. And that's what they're thinking right now. They have all these ingredients, and they want to win the Super Bowl, and they don't have the quarterback that they trust. Unfortunately for Vikings fans, they have the same problem. Are you panicking, Vikings fans? Bears fans? Did you look better with Mitchell Trubisky in there? With Chase Daniel in there than Mitchell Trubisky? I think so. But you're not going to win anything with Chase Daniel as your quarterback.
ESPN reporting that Trubisky has a dislocated left shoulder and slightly torn labrum.
Okay, that's a problem.
Not expected to be a long-term injury, but doubtful that he'll play against the Raiders in London. They do have that built-in bye week. And I've seen anywhere between 3 and 4 weeks, maybe, with that injury before he returns.
Mitchell Trubisky with a slightly torn labrum, I don't want to see
non-throwing shoulder. That's one thing.
That's the caveat. When he's healthy, he'll come back. There's no question about it. But I just feel like I was watching a game where two teams are being held back by their quarterback. It's painfully clear.
If you're a Vikings fan, would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Chase Daniel right now? 319-366-1600.
You're panicking if you're the Vikings, right?
Are you? Are you Vikings fans? How do you feel right now watching Kirk Cousins lead this team into mediocrity? Because as you put it, this team is built to succeed. Both of these teams, the Bears and the Vikings, are built to win now. And both of them appear to have quarterback issues. Green Bay has a quarterback. The Packers have issues elsewhere. And oh, by the way, the fourth team in the division that everybody has written off for the most part, the Detroit Lions, were within just a couple whiskers of pulling off one of the biggest upsets we've seen in a while. They had the Kansas City Chiefs on the ropes yesterday and couldn't quite finish the job. Quite frankly, they left Patrick Mahomes way too much time at the end of the game. But that was an interesting one to watch. And now you've got four teams in this division. None of them are perfect, but man, the Bears and Vikings fans have to both be beside themselves watching that game yesterday for different reasons. And then there's one similar reason, quarterback play, as you pointed out. And there's no magic. Look, you look at some of the guys that have jobs in the league right now. And they're not backup quarterbacks. I'm talking about the starting quarterbacks. And Kirk Cousins is one of the Vikings felt strongly enough in Kirk Cousins to make him the guy and give him a big contract.
Huge contract.
Now you're stuck with him. You even moved on from Teddy Bridgewater, who goes to New Orleans to be the sort of heir apparent to Drew Brees. And would you rather have Teddy Bridgewater back right now?
Mm-hmm.
I think the answer is yes. Man, what a dud game last night, by the way, Sunday Night Football. You think the Saints and the Cowboys would put up points and be exciting? 12-10. Final score. Let's go to the phone lines, though, as they are beginning to light up. We'll start with Casey in Marion. He wants to weigh in on the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. Casey, your thoughts. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm a diehard Vikings fan. I go to a lot of games. Kirk Cousins is, if he's playing a team that's under 500, he'll lights out four touchdowns. He'll do whatever he can. But the minute he plays a team above 500, he's garbage. He can't compete with the good teams. The Vikings need to look at letting Spielman and Zimmer, maybe they just spent way too much money on Cousins. They could have kept Keenum. I know people laugh about Keenum the year he took the Vikings to the NFC Championship game, but they could have took that other $18 million, put it on their offensive line, done something, built around him. I think he's a better quarterback. He could score. He scored more points than the Vikings did against the Bears. It's just frustrating because they spent all that money and then they can't win with him. They'll never go to the playoffs and beat a good team with him at quarterback.
All right, Casey, we appreciate it. And we go from the Vikings perspective to Matt in Cedar Rapids weighing in on the Bears backup quarterback, Chase Daniel. What's on your mind, Matt?
Well, I just want to say, you know, Chase played the entire preseason, you know, and Travinsky played none. So Chase pretty much had the whole system down, and Travinsky kind of came in kind of raw. So, I mean, as long as Daniels can last two or three games, I mean, it would be perfect.
All right, Matt, the Bears have a short-term answer at quarterback, apparently. Again, the Raiders are up next in London. They were crisper with Chase Daniel. And maybe that was it. Maybe the fact that he played the majority of the preseason. Again, this goes back to Matt Nagy's decision to have most of his guys on the sidelines sipping Mai Tais while they could be in there getting things figured out and knocking off the rust. And they're not the only team that approaches the preseason that way. But is it as simple as that? That Chase Daniel has some rhythm to his game coming in off the preseason that he just carried that momentum over?
No, I think that it is fair to say that Chase Daniel, you know, is going to make the right read, and you don't know that about Mitchell Trubisky. He's going to know where the play is designed to go, and if that person is open, he's going to throw the ball. And that's what is so mystifying about Mitchell Trubisky, where sometimes he looks like he knows what he's doing, and then sometimes he doesn't. And you can go on YouTube, and there are plenty of film breakdowns of Mitchell Trubisky, and you just don't know what you're going to get from him on play to play. Not just drive to drive, but play to play. You don't know if he's going to make the right read and make the throw that's open and throw the ball where the play is designed to go. He seems to get very, very tense at times and just not know what he's doing. Chase Daniel spread the ball out. He got the ball to Allen Robinson. He made some good throws to Javon Wims. He got Trey Burton involved. He got David Montgomery involved. He distributed the ball the way that Mitchell Trubisky can't. And for Kirk Cousins, it's hard for me to argue with Casey. You have one of the best running backs in the league, and you have your star receiver coming out post-game and absolutely crushing Kirk Cousins. Did you hear what Adam Thielen said?
I did. And
that's not good.
It is less than ideal to have your clubhouse turning on your quarterback.
And he's absolutely right. He's saying something that all of us can see if you have two eyes and a brain, that you cannot win in this league, no matter how much talent you have at the skill positions, no matter how good of a running game you may think you have, if you can't complete the ball, you can't push the ball down the field and stretch the field vertically in the NFL, you are toast. It's that simple.
The other big story from the NFL yesterday is Vontaze Burfict's hit in the Colts-Raiders game. Vontaze Burfict has been suspended for the rest of the 2019 season, essentially banned for the remainder of the year, and the prevailing thought is that he's played his last game in the National Football League. The game cannot suffer the Vontaze Burfict's of the world, the guys who want to play that old-school style of football. I watched it a couple times yesterday. The hit on, was it Jack Doyle?
Yes.
Helmet-to-helmet.
Indianapolis Colts, yep.
Cringed every time I saw it. This is a player who I know he thinks he's playing football out there, but unlike 90-95% of the rest of the league, which has adapted to the new rules, he's not playing within the rules. And I think the NFL did the right thing here, and I don't think he's going to be able to change his spot, so to speak, here.
No, he's been doing this since high school.
Vontaze Burfict and Antonio Brown can go be the marquee signings for the XFL.
Well, they were the marquee signings for the Oakland Raiders this offseason.
Oh, the Raiders.
That didn't work out so well. No, Vontaze Burfict is a goon. He is somebody who goes out there and intentionally tries to hurt people and ruin people's lives. And he's proven that over and over and over again, from high school to Arizona State. He was a first-round talent and went undrafted.
That's hard to do in that league.
He was almost a top-10 talent and went undrafted due to character concerns. And like you said, how difficult is it to be that low character to where you look at him and all the measurables and all the talent that he has, and they're like, nah, we don't want this guy. Very difficult to do.
A lot of other news. Bradley Chubb out for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. That is a major blow to the Denver defense. That's going to put a lot of extra pressure on Josie Jewell. And Roquan Smith missing the game yesterday for the Bears for personal reasons. Sounds like there may have been some issues with him off the field.
Yeah, that's a very strange situation.
It's a nice $300,000 car to get banged up. I'll leave it at that. We do have a game tonight. We'll get into this a little bit in the 6 o'clock hour, but a pair of winless teams going at it on Monday Night Football tonight. It's a name-brand showdown. You see Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, and you go, man, long-time rivals here. This should be a good game. And then you take a look, and the Bengals have injury issues. I'm not sure what A.J. Green's status is. I believe he's out tonight. And Pittsburgh clearly playing the entire season without Ben Roethlisberger. And these teams are 0-6 at this point. Something's got to give tonight on Monday Night Football. I did have somebody share an interesting factoid with me earlier today. The Raiders have not lost a Monday night football game, or the Steelers have not lost a Monday night football game since 1992. That they've won their last 16 appearances on Monday Night Football.
Well, they clearly haven't played the Patriots on Monday Night Football all that often.
Well, we'll get our crack team of fact checkers on that sometime
That's
soon.
That's hard to believe.
But I got to lean, I think if I recall correctly, is Pittsburgh it's like a 3-point favorite in that game tonight? I'll check things out real quick at the Elite Sports Book.
Three and a half
in
is
Riverside.
What I see, but
3.5 a favorite tonight, and the total on that game 45 points. That has 3-point game. I'd take the points in the Bengals there if I were a gambling man, which I'm not. 319-366-1600-548. We'll take a quick timeout. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Member FDIC.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere. Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Fieldhouse First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Fieldhouse First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
This is what Flo from Progressive sounds like in one of our many hilarious commercials.
You and basic motorcycle policies start at just $75 a year. I know, right? Do you think I say I know right too often? I do. I know, right? I have to stop, don't I? I know.
And this
right?
is what that same commercial sounds like on your motorcycle.
I know.
Yeah, even our commercials are better on a bike. Progressive keeps you on yours. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Napa Know-How.
Now at Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $20 prepaid Visa gift card when you buy oil, air, and cabin air filters. Because let's be honest, you probably don't remember the last time you changed them. So buy all three filters at your local Napa and get $20 back. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, limit 2 prepaid cards per household while supplies last. Offer ends 10/31/19.
5:51, welcome back in. A Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring here in Cedar Rapids and in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Local flooring experts by design. Again, a big thank you to Randy's for their presenting sponsorship on Mondays. Some Big Ten news from the past weekend that did not involve Iowa curb stomping Middle Tennessee State. This is about as bad of a play as you could possibly have if you're a Purdue fan. The Boilermakers lost Rondale Moore and their quarterback, Elijah Sindelar, on the same play in their 38-31 loss to Minnesota at Rossade Stadium over the weekend. That leads them into a showdown with Penn State this weekend as a 20-some point underdogs. The line moved, has now moved over 10 points in that game with the news that Rondale Moore and Elijah Sindelar will both not be playing this weekend.
27.5 points.
That is, look, Rondale Moore is a dynamic, game-changing player, and you throw him and Sindelar on the long list of injuries. Marcus Bailey is out, a couple other injured players on the defensive side of the football. This is almost shaping up to be a lost season for Jeff Brohm and the Boilermakers, which is unfortunate for them because the expectations were that they could be one of the six teams in the Big Ten West to compete for a championship this year. You can't do it without Rondale Moore. You can't do it without a quarterback, and you can't do it without half your defense.
And a defense that wasn't very good to start and now is missing its best player. And then an offense where you were wondering about Elijah Sindelar, but he was really what you had at quarterback. And Jack Plummer's not getting the job done, and there's just no way. No way they're going to be able to survive without Rondale Moore. So a bad start to the season gets worse for Purdue. And is there a 4-0, is there an undefeated team in college football that people are taking less seriously than the Minnesota Golden Gophers?
I was just going to say, even with all of that, Minnesota still barely edged by Purdue by a touchdown. I will say, yes, there is a team people are... Well, you said 4-0 team. Okay. That takes Rutgers out of the equation, but this is the time-honored tradition of firing a coach in late September when you probably should have fired the coach last December.
Yeah.
They didn't. Rutgers didn't. They gave Chris Ash another season, and the results just were not there this year. Embarrassed at the hands of the Michigan Wolverines over the weekend, 52-0. 52, 56.
52.
I got had the score correct there, but for some reason I wanted to give Jim Harbaugh on Michigan another couple points there. His record, Chris Ash's record at Rutgers, is 8-32 in 3+ seasons, 3-26 in Big Ten play. And the leading contender for the job, Greg Schiano.
They have to hire Greg Schiano, don't they?
He's the only coach that's had success at Rutgers in the last two decades.
Would I venture to say ever? I mean, I'm not thinking...
I'm not an expert on Rutgers football.
What were they like in the 50s?
They have been around for 150 years. I don't want to step on the toes of someone who may have had an exceptional run
in the
Prohibition era.
Were they contending with Minnesota all those years ago for national championships? Greg Schiano is the only coach, certainly in my lifetime, that's ever had any trace of success at Rutgers, and Kyle Flood only rode on his coattails to have those winning seasons that he had.
Rutgers has been an unmitigated disaster since joining the Big Ten. Maryland has not been great, and say what you will about Nebraska, but the Huskers have had their share of struggles lately as well, including against Ohio State on Saturday night on the world's big stage. Schiano listed as the number one candidate for the Rutgers job. That's a tough sell. There are a group of five schools that are in way better shape than Rutgers.
Oh, yeah.
Way better jobs. That you're not going to get a guy to leave a good group of five job to take the step up to a Power 5 when that Power 5 team is Rutgers.
Yeah, that discussion was had last night. I don't think anybody in the AAC, like a Willie Fritz at Tulane or anybody else, any one of those coaching candidates is going to be going from their school to Rutgers, maybe a Chris Creighton at Eastern Michigan.
Another former Drake coach, just like Chris Ash.
Maybe.
Butch Jones, by the way, also mentioned as a possibility.
Just go get Greg Schiano. Just give it a shot. It might not work. Probably won't, but what do you have to lose?
We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for a 6 o'clock hour, which will feature plenty of Hawkeye discussion. Back with more after this.
Pros like you start with Lowe's to find the top brands like First Alert, BRK, and Energizer. First Alert has been protecting homes for over 6 decades, so you can be sure you're installing peace of mind. Shop Lowe's today and save $10 on a First Alert 10-year battery, smoke and carbon monoxide alarm with voice and location, now just $49.97. And for crisp daylight and dark spaces, pick up an Energizer Vision Performance metal flashlight for $10 less, now $19.98, batteries included. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's, valid through 10-9 U.S. only.
Prepare your vehicle for the weather ahead during Super Start Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts with great deals on batteries and accessories. Plus, save on your next oil change with 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter, just $28.99. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
5:58, we welcome you back in. A Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Plenty to discuss. We've already hit on Joe Maddon's departure from the Chicago Cubs with Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune, and chatted our weekly conversation with John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. If you missed anything from the first 2 hours, our podcast will be available shortly after we're off the air tonight. At 7 o'clock, we will get you ready for Monday Night Football between the Steelers and the Bengals coming up before we are off the air. But when we return, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register will join us. We'll look back on a historic day in a good way for the Iowa offense. They put up a ton of yards against Middle Tennessee. What can they take from that game into the resumption of Big Ten play and a tough road game this weekend in Ann Arbor against Michigan? Chad is with us next at 6:05. And more of your texts and phone calls, 319-366-1600. Texts coming in on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. Hour number 3 of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring on Mondays, returns on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi at this hour. Live coverage continues on ESPN-TV and the ESPN app for the Steelers and Bengals on Monday Night Football. Pittsburgh has owned Cincinnati the last few years, winning 8 straight in the series. If the Steelers are going to continue their dominance over their AFC North rivals, they'll need to get their running game going, advises ESPN's Ryan Clark.
There's so much focus on Mason Rudolph and what he'll be able to do, but what about James Conner? What about Samuels and this offensive line that is really the strong point of this team? There are veteran guys there. There are guys that understand how you win in the AFC North. They have to lean on them to get James Conner in some open space, and we can see some of the success we saw last year.
Raiders linebacker Vontaze Burfict is in the process of filing an appeal for his season-long suspension for yesterday's helmet-to-helmet hit. The NFL said the suspension was over Burfict's repeated violations of unnecessary roughness rules. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports an MRI showed Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky has a dislocated left shoulder with a slight labrum tear. He does not need surgery, though. It's unlikely he plays Sunday against the Raiders in London. Broncos linebacker Bradley Chubb will have season-ending surgery on a partial tear of his ACL. The Angels, coming off a disappointing season where they finished fourth in the AL West, fired manager Brad Ausmus. Speculation is that Joe Maddon could replace him. Maddon, who parted ways with the Cubs yesterday, was a coach with the Angels from 1993 to 2005. He is held in high regard by team owner Artie Moreno, and Maddon is said to be highly interested in the Angels' opening.
The National League Wild Card. The Washington Nationals and the Milwaukee Brewers. Coverage begins tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Presented by AutoZone.
Twins and the Royals one last time in 2019. A spirited crowd at Kauffman Stadium celebrating the Royals, but Ned Yost, the all-time winningest manager in Royals history, his final game managing the Royals and his final game managing in all of Big League Baseball. The Twins were trying to spoil that party and win their 102nd game, which would match the 65 Twins team record. And a promising start, Twins scored three in the first inning, back-to-back homers from Crone and Cave. It was a 3-0 game. Martin Perez gave one back on the 48th home run hit by Jorge Soler, a 3-1 game. Royals scored two more in the fourth. It was a 3-3 game until Jason Castro gave the Twins the lead right back with a home run of the fifth and a 4-3 game at that point. Outside of that, though, the Twins' offense really not much going after that Castro home run. The Royals, though, made some noise, and it stayed 4-4 entering the home half of the ninth inning. Bruce Dar Gratterall came in. He allowed a leadoff double to Humberto Arteaga. After Nick Denny blooped a single into right center, the Royals had first and third nobody out with Brett Phillips batting against Gratterall in the ninth inning. And the 1-2 pitch, a line drive into right. Miller back. He'll make the catch. Arteaga tags. He heads home, and he scores sliding, and the Royals win the game 5-4. It's a walk-off. Brett Phillips, sack fly RBI, and Ned Yost goes out a winner in his final game managing the Royals. After being walked off 15 times in 2018, the Twins suffered just their second walk-off loss all year as the Royals win the game 5-4, spoiling the party here for the Twins as they were seeking to match that 1965 team in terms of wins. Still, you can't be mad about a 101 season. 101 wins to 61 losses. Remarkable year for the Minnesota Twins. Additionally, three home runs. The Twins finished the year with 307. The Yankees, who had the lead entering play on Sunday by one home run, only hit one. That means the Twins have the record. They surpassed the Yankees with more home runs than any other team in baseball history at 307 on the season. So the offense did its part again on Sunday and has all season long, even though they come up a run shy as the Royals win the game 5-4. We will join you next come Friday. Twins and the Yankees open up a best-of-five divisional series from Yankee Stadium. But the final from Sunday in Kansas City, Royals 5, Twins 4. Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Oh, that's a tough draw for the Twins in the postseason. You ask, how can you be mad at a 100-plus win season? If they get swept out of the postseason in short order by the Yankees, I think Twins fans will be plenty upset. You can hear the action throughout the postseason here on KGYM. We'll do our best to have as much of the postseason as possible, but including the Twins radio network on 107.5 FM, one of many ways that you can hear us here at KGYM. We also have 106.3 FM. And 1600 AM, our historic frequency, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. Great national programming like Golic and Wingo, the Dan Lebatard Show, the Stephen A. Smith Show, and the Will Cain Show, leading into local programming, which begins every day at 3 o'clock with the Gym Class. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, presented by Third Base Brewery, just like KGYM, proud to be locally owned and operated. Third Base, a great place to catch a bite to eat, a cold draft beer, watch games. You can do it all. They appreciate their sponsorship, just as we appreciate our Monday presenting sponsor, Randy's Flooring. Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. You name it, they have it as far as floor covering options go. You got pets, you got kids. Those two are particularly tough on flooring, but Randy's has a number of options that could be the answer to your problems with regard to wear and tear. Check them out online, randysflooring.com. 319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Monday Night Football on the horizon tonight between the Cincinnati Bengals and the home team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both teams looking for their first wins in 2019. Something's got to give tonight. The Steelers, as we mentioned, a 3.5-point favorite according to the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. Total on that game is in the low 40s. I would be inclined to do about a 6.5-point teaser on that game tonight in case anybody is interested in my thoughts on that. You do a 6.5-point teaser, I would go Cincinnati up to 10 points. And I would take the over down to, would that be 38.5? Over 30.5 plus 10, 6.5-point teaser, Monday Night Football special. I'm going to give that one to you free. You can get the rest of the plays, including the lock of the week, by calling Kyle Mann right now at 319-366-1600. I kid. We will touch base momentarily with Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register, but a lot to unpack and not much to unpack. That makes sense from Iowa's latest victory. The Hawkeyes flying high at 4-0, including an early 1-0 start in Big Ten play with that victory over Rutgers, one of the games that helped seal Chris Ash's fate in Piscataway. They put up a ton of points and a ton of yards against Middle Tennessee. And for their efforts, the Blue Raiders returned to Murfreesboro with a $1.5 million check, which will now pay for much of their athletics department's expenses. It truly was a win-win situation. The best news for Iowa, though, they got out of that game relatively unscathed injury-wise. They were able to get some young players on the field, a little more experience. Give me your takeaways from Iowa Middle Tennessee, if you had any.
They steamrolled Middle Tennessee, quite literally. There was a mismatch. Iowa in the trenches, like we thought, and I thought you tweeting during the game that maybe we even undersold how big the size discrepancy was
clear
going to be.
Clear from the get-go. The very first series, it was holy cow, man among boys.
And that's what it looked like. Like you said, it was one of those games very much like Nebraska and Ohio State where you knew it was over very early on in the game. But There are some positives. There are a lot of positives about this Iowa offense, and there are some weapons. There's a really emerging star at the wide receiver position in Amir Smith-Marset, who has gone from gadget guy to centerpiece type player at the wide receiver position. And the running game is very good. Has been very good so far. The offensive line play has been good. They've weathered the storm without Alaric Jackson, and now it's time for prime time. It is time for them to show whether or not they are legitimate contenders in the Big Ten. I know people are down on Michigan, but that team still has talent, and Iowa, I think, can win this game. But it's going to be their biggest test to date, going on the road to play Michigan in Ann Arbor. And then next week as well, Penn State looks like one of the better teams the best team in the Big Ten, not named Ohio State. So these next 2 weeks are going to tell us whether or not Iowa can translate all of this talent that they have compiled offensively and all of this momentum that they have compiled through four games and use it against some of the better teams that they're going to face all year.
644 yards in total offense, a new record for the Kirk Ferentz era. The previous best, you got to go all the way back to 2005 when the Hawkeyes absolutely pounded Minnesota, 613 yards in that game. So they smash it by 21 yards. Iowa's 351 yards on the ground, the fourth best total of the Kirk Ferentz era. Solid game for Nate Stanley. When you said emerging star, I thought for sure you were going to say Tyler Goodson running game.
Oh, him too, yeah.
He continues to make enough of an impact on the ground that I think you're going to have to figure out a way to carve out more of a role for him. But you look, Toron Young, 131 yards on 11 carries. Mekhi Sargent, 91 yards on 14 touches, and Goodson with 97 yards on 12 carries. Who loses? How do you take carries away from one to give to the other? It's a problem that I'm glad I don't have to solve.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but Brian Ferentz is going to have to figure out a way to say, okay, we have to find a way to get the ball to Tyler Goodson. Get the ball in his hands because good things are going to happen.
And Brady Ross got in the end zone, too, over the weekend. We don't want to not give love to the Iowa fullback. Chad Lystikoa, the Des Moines Register, is with us now. You can read Chad's work at hawkcentral.com as well as in print at the Register. Chad, we were just going over some of the superlatives from Saturday's game between the Hawkeyes and Middle Tennessee. The biggest takeaway is that the Hawkeyes appear to be healthy for the most part going into Ann Arbor this weekend.
Well, at least healthier. I mean, you'd like to see somebody like Matt Hankins or Julius Brents or some of those guys get back in the secondary, but obviously good news that Alaric Jackson looks like he'll be back. Kayvon Merriweather's back. I think he's probably going to be coming off the bench at this point. So, good news that they actually got through the Middle Tennessee game without added injuries. Heading into, obviously, what's a huge, huge month ahead.
Chad, let's get to the topic we were just discussing, and I'm going to start with Tyler Goodson, the freshman, the dynamic playmaker. He's shown quite a bit of polish. Kirk Ferentz has said that he loves the way he's just fit in right away since he stepped on campus. They got to continue to find the way to get him the ball, do they not?
Yeah, I think they will. Rewatching the game today, you know, it's again, it's minor quibbles, but you can tell he's not near the pass protector just yet that Mekhi Sargent or Torrin Young are. We've so far so good on ball security, but we know Mekhi Sargent, for example, has tremendous ball security. So, you know, you can't – it is hard. I heard the end of that conversation, and it is going to be hard to know, who to give carries to and who not to. But I think they've got a nice formula right now. Start out with Mekhi. Maybe pound it away with Torrin Young and maybe look for some of that home run ball late with Tyler Goodson when the defense is getting tired. So I like what obviously you have to like what they've done so far. And I don't see somebody asked me on social media today, like, you know, is Goodson going to be a four-game guy now? Is he going to go to the bench? And I was like, no way. I mean, he's in for the whole season, and he's certainly part of this rotation and obviously in the top three.
Hawkeyes at 4-0 does not happen all that often in the Kirk Ferentz era. What are some of the warts that this team has going into Ann Arbor this weekend, or are they on relatively solid footing, in your opinion?
Yeah, the only weaknesses you could kind of point to would be, you know, punt returns. You could point to lack of sacks so far, but I'm not too worried about the sacks just because they're drawing so many penalties. And this is a point my colleague Mark Emmer pointed out. I mean, how many penalties did Iowa draw in Middle Tennessee because of that pass rush? Probably five or six, maybe. And that's kind of like a sack. So, one area that I would be a little bit nervous about is Iowa, you know, probably hasn't really – you know, if you look at that Iowa State game in particular, the pass defense has been a little bit susceptible. Michigan obviously coming off a really big passing game against Rutgers, and Shea Patterson's obviously an accomplished quarterback. So be interesting to see how that goes with, it looks like DJ Johnson and Michael Ojemudia as the corners. I wouldn't say it's a weakness, but I think I wouldn't say it's a proven strength yet at this point. And right now we're just kind of, I think, looking at nitpick things. I mean, we're not talking about an offensive line that can't block, a quarterback that can't throw. Iowa's got a top five scoring defense. So really, really good stuff so far through September for the Hawks.
What do you think this Saturday against Michigan and then the next week against Penn State are going to tell us about this team?
Well, I mean, I think it's do you win or do you lose? I mean, we've seen, through the lens of last year's team. Look at all the close games that they lost. And, the Wisconsin game ends up being decided by 11, but that was a last-minute loss if there ever was one. And, can they win these close games against good competition? They're obviously hanging in there against the big boys. Remind me the last time Iowa was actually, blown out of a game. I mean, it's certainly, you'd have to go back to 2017 to find that game. I guess it'd be Wisconsin, right? that's it. They're obviously going to hang. They should be able to hang with these teams. The question is, can they make the plays at the end of the game to win it? And I think Nate Stanley so far gives you a lot of confidence that he can make winning plays, and the receivers too. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see how they stack up. They've done a nice job through this first month.
We haven't really seen Oliver Martin a whole lot here through the first four games of the season. He's heading back to Ann Arbor this week. I'm sure much will be asked and written about with him, especially with the media availability tomorrow in Iowa City. But what's your gut feeling? Do we see any of Oliver Martin back at the Big House?
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be crazy not to put him out there. I know that he's, you know, kind of number five in the pecking order right now, and I don't really see that changing. I mean, who would you move him ahead of at this point? All those guys have had really good games in recent outings. So, yeah, we'll see him, and I'm sure he's got, you know, a little bit of inside knowledge on some of those cornerbacks. You know, they've gone against in practice for 2 years. You know, what they're susceptible to, maybe. You know, one thing about Oliver is his reputation is he's really good against man coverage, and Michigan plays a lot of man coverage. So, you know, that maybe this is a time to break him out a little bit more, you know, because Iowa doesn't face a ton of man coverage, and obviously Michigan kind of, that's kind of their stamp. So it'll be, you know, we'll learn a lot about Iowa's receiving group this week for sure.
With Amir Smith-Marset, I know preseason when we chatted with Brian Ferentz, he had said that Amir had been the breakout player at camp and it had been one of the most pleasant surprises. We saw flashes of him the past couple of years, but he was used mostly as a gadget guy. But now through four games, he's leading the team in receptions and yards and touchdowns. He's the fourth leading rusher. Has it surprised you at all how much of a centerpiece type player he has become?
It has, yeah. I was, especially given some of the comments we were hearing back in the spring about Amir. Just and obviously now you look back on it and you understand that the coaches were challenging him, I think, to kind of you know, kind of step into that junior role which he's in now. The added weight, I think, has made a huge difference in his game. He's so much stronger, you know, in every facet of his game. Obviously, we haven't seen the kick return part of it yet, but I don't think you worry about that too much. I mean, he's really Iowa's best deep threat. He has shown his ability to be a good runner on those jet sweeps, which is, I mean, if you look at Wisconsin, you know, when they're good, they've got a guy that can run that jet sweep with the best of them. And, you know, I think Iowa has that guy in Marset. And to me, he's been their most valuable receiver without question.
Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register with us. Let's keep our focus on the team that you just mentioned, the Wisconsin Badgers. Is it, at this point, looking at the Big Ten West, a two-team race between Iowa and Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, to me, those are the top two teams at this moment. Obviously, you cannot count out Minnesota just yet. I mean, it's interesting that they just keep surviving, and their schedule is definitely the friendliest of the three. I mean, I would put probably Minnesota 3 right now in the West. So so that could get interesting. Minnesota's you know, toughest games are at the very end of the season, obviously, with at Iowa in the 10th game, and then Wisconsin to finish. So they could really be 9-1 or something like that coming into Kinnick. But all in all, I do think that the Big Ten West is probably going to be decided November 9th in Madison. So the trick is for Iowa, to me, is get through October 3-1. And that means you definitely have to at least split these next two games to give yourself a chance, because Wisconsin, you know, might lose at Ohio State, but might not. So you can't assume that they will. So you need to make sure you only lose one game and you beat them at Madison and go 8-1 and win the West.
I will preface this by saying that Ohio State's really good, but did that Nebraska performance on Saturday night give us a loud and clear picture that they are not ready, not just to contend for a national championship or a Big Ten title, but even for the Big Ten West?
Yeah, I mean, I think I bought into it a little bit. Not too much. I mean, I picked them to tie for fourth in the West, but you know, but I believe the Big Ten Network, and they said these guys are so much stronger, and Scott Frost said it too, and so they're going to be so much better at the line of scrimmage. But boy, it's either they're not quite strong enough, or they're not well coached enough, or something. Because, I mean, maybe Iowa would get beat that badly by Ohio State too, or Wisconsin, but I highly doubt it because that was just that they were just toying with Nebraska, and they probably could have run it up even more if they wanted to. So I think all along my gut was that they were a year away still, and that's why I picked them to be tied for fourth in the Big Ten West. Then maybe that's where they end up. But boy, I mean, I looked at Adrian Martinez's numbers at the end of that game, and it was dreadful. It wasn't just the running game. It was the passing game, too. And so maybe I over – a lot of us, I think, over maybe hyped what Adrian Martinez was, because that was very, very anemic for Nebraska on both sides of the ball.
Chad, correct me if I'm wrong. You are a Bears fan, correct?
Yeah. I was at the game yesterday.
Are they better off without Mitch Trubisky right now?
You know, I don't think so, because eventually, you know, Chase Daniel did a nice job, but Minnesota wasn't prepared for him. And now there's just more tape on him. And once teams realize he can't move at all in the pocket, I mean, you still need to – Trubisky's still the long-term guy. But Daniel might be able to squeak out a win in London, and then the Bears get a bye week. And then I would say if Mitch is ready with that left shoulder harness, bring him back for the Saints on October 19th, something like that. So, yeah, I was pretty pumped about that game yesterday. I took my boy, my 9-year-old, to the game, and it was just fun to have a family day and away from everything after this last week.
All right. Well, the fun begins anew this weekend. Hawkeyes travel to Ann Arbor. We look forward to reading about it at hawkcentral.com. Have you and Mark done the basketball road trip draft yet?
We did, and that podcast is available on Apple Podcasts. We did not make that one a subscriber only. We wanted to, since it was such a long-term, two-year request in the making, we wanted to make sure that was available for everybody. So, yeah, just go on to your Apple Podcasts, and it should be there if you scroll down a couple in the Hawk Central menu. And it was fun. We did like 52 minutes, divvied up 12 games, and I got the first pick, and I took Syracuse.
You're going to have to show your work on that one. You passed up the Palestra?
I did, and when you listen to the podcast, I'll give you a little tease.
Oh, look at the salesman here. Okay.
Yeah. It was I said, by the time I'm done covering the Rose Bowl, I'm going to need a break. That's what I said. So.
Oh, I like that. Hey, before we let you go, the preseason media poll today that the Columbus paper puts out in conjunction with The Athletic, Iowa 8th place in the Big Ten. Seems just about right, right?
Yeah, I had them a couple spots lower, to be honest, just because I don't, you know, I really don't think Bohannon's going to play this year. But you know, we'll see. We'll see. Big Ten Media Day is Wednesday. We'll see what Fran says about that. But we'll see. It just seems like it's been a rough off season for the Hawkeyes, and kind of need to see it to believe it with this group right now.
That doesn't seem like Iowa will be adopting that as a marketing slogan anytime soon. Iowa basketball, we'll see.
We'll see.
Chad, we appreciate it as always, and we'll see you tomorrow in Iowa City.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
Chad Lystikow of the Des Moines Register. You can read his work at hawkcentral.com. Iowa faces a much stiffer test this weekend in Michigan in Ann Arbor. The Wolverines favored in that game by about 5 points, although they were favored by much more than that when the line initially came out. Michigan, I think, was exposed 2 weeks ago by Wisconsin, and this is an ordinary Michigan football team. Kirk Ferentz has had good success against the Wolverines dating back to the days of Lloyd Carr. He's had a decent amount of success in trips to Ann Arbor. I kind of like the way that things are shaping up here, but as Chad said, this two-game stretch with Iowa traveling to Michigan and then having Penn State at home under the lights, pretty key two-game stretch. I thought the Purdue game was going to be much more significant if the injuries to Rondale Moore and Sindelar carry over into the next couple weeks. I think Iowa is going to have a pretty easy time of winning that game at Kinnick Stadium, even though Jeff Brohm isn't the greatest matchup for Kirk Ferentz. So really, two games here to look forward to over the next 2 weeks, Alex, beginning with this one on Saturday.
Yeah, two of the most talented teams that you're going to face, the two most talented teams you're going to face all season other than Wisconsin on the schedule. And just to get the monkey off your back, to take away the perception that you can't execute late in games against good teams, which was built last year. And I know it's a cyclical thing, and you see them at times eke out those close wins, and then other years they lose those close games. And I think a lot of people believe, all right, last year was just one of those years where they, for whatever reason, they couldn't make that play late against the teams they were competing against, the teams that they felt like they were right there with, but upper level Big Ten competition. They couldn't make the play late to win those games. Can they do it against two really, really good defenses in a row? I think we're all excited to find out.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. And when we get back, we'll get a big board update, and then maybe we chat a little bit of Big Ten hoops. It's never too early, right? I think it's too early to discuss Big Ten basketball right now, but that preseason poll indicates that there is a clear leader in the clubhouse in the Big Ten, and surprise, surprise, it's Michigan State. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you on Mondays by Randy's Flooring. We return on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio after this.
Remember the complaints you used to get from your family about snoring? You haven't heard those in a while, have you? And how about the way you wake up feeling refreshed in the morning instead of worn out? There's no question your CPAP or BiPAP machine treats your sleep apnea and makes a big difference in your life. So keep your CPAP or BiPAP performing well. Come to CarePro Home Medical's free walk-in CPAP BiPAP clinics October 3rd in Coralville or October 10th at their Cedar Rapids location between 3 and 5 p.m. Just bring your machine along and CarePro's respiratory therapist will check the pressure settings, tubing, filters, masks, headgear, and humidifiers. They'll see if any of the pieces need adjustment or replacement, and they'll replace your disposable filter. They want to make sure you keep getting top-notch treatment for your sleep apnea. You probably know the friendly people at CarePro go above and beyond, but if you haven't met with them yet, come to the CPAP BiPAP Clinic and see just how great they are. Connect with the people and answers you need at CarePro, CarePROHealthServices.com.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all. So you can haul gravel, till soil, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or find them online at citytractor.com.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final Boy Wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in Eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
6:31. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at kgymradio.com, where we have a poll question for you today brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Do you agree with the Chicago Cubs' decision to move on from manager Joe Maddon? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway, located on First Avenue Southeast. You can find them behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Kyle's rejoined us in the studio three times a day. He brings you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
We received a text last week that asked when the Hawkeyes would start winning big against lesser opponents like Iowa State had done to Louisiana Monroe, and the answer to that question turned out to be Saturday against Middle Tennessee State. 358 yards in the first half of a 48-3 rout surpassed six game totals from last season, and 644 on the afternoon was the most yards in the Kirk Ferentz era. Nate Stanley had 276 yards, 202 touchdowns, and still no picks thrown on the season, and three different running backs had over 90 yards rushing, led by Torrin Young with 131 yards on just 11 carries. The Hawkeyes remain 14th in this week's AP poll, but I'd like to repeat a stat some of you may have seen during the broadcast. Over the last 17 years, 86% of Iowa starters have made it to the NFL as either draftees or free agents. It was announced earlier today, by the way, that Iowa's matchup hosting 12th-ranked Penn State has been flexed into a primetime game, although the network is yet to be determined. We also got the two deep for this week's game at Michigan, which featured the returns of Eric Jackson and Kevon Merriweather. Iowa State had a great fourth-quarter comeback spoiled by Baylor and Waco. After trailing 20-0 entering the fourth, the Cyclones scored 21 unanswered, only to fall victim to their own prevent defense and lose 23-20 on a field goal in the final minute. Noah Fant scored his first NFL touchdown yesterday, taking a screen pass 25 yards to the house in a Broncos loss to the Jags, but TJ Hawkinson suffered a scare after trying to hurdle two defenders and landing hard on his head and shoulder. He appeared to be knocked out cold, but reports today are that the team will not be placing him on injured reserve, which at least means it's nothing super serious. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Steelers hosting the Bengals on Monday Night Football on both our South and North Gym FM frequencies, as well as John Walters hosting the Cyclone Sideline Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
For some reason, I laughed at that, picturing a medical diagnosis, a doctor telling you that it's serious, but not super serious. Okay? It's serious, but not like super serious. 319-366-1600. We've been over pretty much everything today with a fine-tooth comb, with the exception, I think, of a topic that we discussed in the first 20 minutes of the program tonight, and that's the fact that the state of California has signed into law this Senate bill that opens the door for athletes to be paid for their name, image, and likeness by a school. This is not the same as paying athletes to perform. This is, hey, we used your image on a billboard to sell season tickets. You need, or you deserve to be compensated for that.
I guess we can't make that distinction clear enough, because no matter how many times we say that, there will be people saying, well, no, the school shouldn't, they shouldn't be paid. The school should not pay a salary to the players. No, that's not what we're talking about. Imagine a world where you can walk into the Iowa bookstore and buy an AJ Epenesa jersey with his name on the back. Is that appealing enough to you?
That's sort of, and he gets a cut of that.
Exactly.
Whereas, and the great rub here has always been that you can go to Shields and you can buy a number 94 Iowa football jersey without a nameplate on the back of it. And, well, it's just a number 94 jersey. And it goes back to Chris Webber and the Fab Five. I think it was Chris Webber on that 30 for 30 on ESPN talking about walking down the street in Ann Arbor and seeing the sporting goods store with the Michigan jersey in the window. Maybe it was Jalen Rose. I can't remember which member of the Fab Five it was, but basically walked down the street in Ann Arbor and saw their jersey in the window and thought to themselves, hey, man, there are people out here making a ton of money off what we're doing, and we're not seeing any of it. And again, this probably applies more to football and basketball than it does to any other athlete, but what would be so wrong about opening up an opportunity for Megan Gustafson last season if somebody wanted to make her a part of their marketing campaign or to pay her to make an appearance at their store to drive some interest and bring some fans in, capitalize on your name and likeness. Because without this law in California, and it does appear that other states now are trying to follow similar suit, but California is the first to act, and the first one always has to take a lot of the brunt here, because there are a lot of people out there that are not fans of this idea. I don't see too much wrong with this. In theory, we had the call in hour number one that said, well, if you go down this road, the schools that have all the money, they're going to benefit from but they're already the most powerful. It's not going to, I don't think this is upsetting the apple cart very much.
No, honestly, I think that a lot of schools and smaller markets, there will be opportunity, especially the schools like Iowa, schools like Wisconsin, schools in non-metropolitan large city areas, that they'll have a lot of marketing opportunities for their athletes. And I see nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And this, that we've had a lot of questions asking about how this will affect non-revenue sports. Actually, it's not going to affect them all at all. If anything, there will be marketing opportunities for them as well. Yeah, it's not going to be the same as the football program or the men's basketball program. But like you said, Megan Gustafson, there would have been businesses waiting to have her on as a spokesperson. Plenty of athletes would be given that chance. It wouldn't cost the schools a dime. And it wouldn't require any shared revenue whatsoever.
Now, does it open the door for more discussion down the road of sharing some of that revenue with the players? I think it does. And that's what guys like the commissioner of the SEC and the commissioner of the Pac-12, that's where they're really concerned.
What's next mentality.
The give a mouse a cookie and the mouse will ask for a glass of milk approach. And they're worried that because athletes can now make money off their likenesses, that sooner or later they're going to ask for money from ticket sales. And that's a huge revenue. If they're dipping into the TV money, if they're dipping into the ticket sales and revenue there, then that's where the schools are going to try to stand firm on this. But it's basically out of greed.
I don't think that the players should necessarily get that. I think there has to be a balance here. This is, after all, I think the Olympic model is what they're shooting for right now, where you wonder whether or not the federation should pay them. Probably not, but let them go out and make money on their own for not hindering people from paying them. I think that's the perfect balance for college sports, because yes, getting into salary-driven sports at the college level is never going to work. I don't think there's a good way to do that. It's never going to work. But the compromise, meeting halfway and not losing the face of what makes college sports so special, I think is what California did.
Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Jeff in Cedar Rapids wanting to weigh in. You can follow him tonight at 366-1600. Jeff, what's on your mind?
How are you Caps doing tonight?
We're good, man. What's up?
Well, just thinking about this whole thing, I mean, the colleges are giving these guys a lot of money to go to school, and I'm not knocking the thing we're talking about, but plus they get fed really well, boom, boom, boom. I think I'm all for that, what you guys are talking about, but I think there needs to be a price limit on that, how much they can make. I don't think it should be wide open where this guy's coming home with $100,000. My goodness, everybody's looking around saying, what? No, there's got to be a price limit there. I mean, just like pretty much, you make $25,000 in a year, that's a lot of money, guys. All right, maybe we got to look at a dollar limit on this. And that's my pretty much remark on this. And that's all I got to say. Thanks.
Jeff, we appreciate it. And I think that's reasonable. I think it's reasonable to say, because, look, the concern here, and we've heard it for a long time. Anytime you've talked about paying players, You always get the mythical suggestion that there's going to be an unscrupulous donor who owns a car dealership and they're going to pay somebody $500,000 a year for a no-show job like it's The Sopranos. I think it's okay to say you can pay a player for their likeness or an endorsement, but they're not going to make more than, and I don't know what the reasonable amount of dollars would be here, but if you capped the amount of money that you could make from each individual endorsement or transaction, I think maybe that helps some people sleep a little bit better at night.
And I get that, but like why, and I understand sort of where that opinion's come from, but why are we trying to limit what that person makes? Like, what? Why are we telling somebody, no, we're going to set the market on what this person can make and not let the market set itself on what that person can make?
Because that's the way that we operate.
Why do we care so much?
Because somebody else could make more money than us, and we get a little jealous of that. And I think that's a lot of what's going on underneath here, and you hear that in various parts of the discussion that, these guys are already compensated. They're getting scholarships. They're getting room and board.
They're getting in-store credit is what they're getting.
It's not as lucrative as people make it out to be, especially for the Olympic sports. If you're a baseball player, I can almost guarantee you that you're not on a full scholarship.
No, they're not.
If you are a soccer player or a tennis player, you're not on full scholarship. You're getting a small piece of that sports scholarship allocation. But there could be an opportunity for you to make X number of dollars as a counselor at a weekend soccer camp with kids. Should you be allowed to do that? Should the soccer camp be able to promote the fact that they've got an athlete there doing that? Where's the harm in that?
For goodness sakes, could you imagine what this would do for college baseball? In college baseball, the way that things are set up right now, a player drafted in the first round sometimes can have the choice between getting a $6 million signing bonus or going to college and getting a 35% scholarship. What decision's going to be made 9 times out of 10? I'm not even talking about the first round guys. Guys that go in the 5th, the 10th, the 20th round. If they get a $250,000 signing bonus from a team, you got to be tempted to skip college entirely and go to and sign your professional ball contract. I think this would be a big lift for college baseball, giving athletes who are possibly on that bubble, the 5th, the 10th round picks, another option and making it more enticing for them to go to college.
6:45, we will take our final break of the night. When we come back, brief thoughts on Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, your Monday night football game coming your way on 2 of our 3 frequencies after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com.
It's gonna be the best day
ever. Member FDIC.
Even the most talented players don't make a winning team without a great coach. I'm Lisa Nolan with RE/MAX Concepts. And as a lifelong Cyclone fan, I appreciate all the Iowa State coaches. As a realtor, I am your coach. I identify the strongest selling points for your home, I understand the details of this market, and I always make a clear plan for your success. Let's work together to buy or sell your home. You can contact me anytime at lisanolanrealtor.com. We'll make a great team.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
Does this place look haunted?
No, I don't think so.
What about those two creepy girls?
Come stay with us.
That is truly frightening.
You know what's really scary? Missing out on Geico's great service. With Geico, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Thank you, creepy girls.
Want to see our room?
We're gonna sleep in the car now.
Happy Geico-ing. Switch today for 24/7 access to licensed agents.
How many members of the pool still alive on the KGYM knockout pool were almost in danger of having their seasons ended by the Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions yesterday? As it stands, we've got a number of people still alive in the race to take home $500 at the end of the season. A big thank you once again to our friends at Imon Communications for sponsoring our knockout pool. They also bring you fantasy football advice twice during the week on KGYM. Chris Liss of rotowire.com on the gym class during Wednesday programming, and Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com on our show on Wednesdays. Todd and Alex with you for just a few more minutes here on a Monday night before we turn you loose. The Cyclone Coaches Corner coming up from the Applebee's in Ames. Kevin Dresser and Matt Campbell joining John Walters tonight. We'll have that for you on 1600 AM. And Alex, a battle of winless teams on Monday Night Football on our FM frequencies, 107.5, 106.3. Something's got to give between the Steelers and the Bengals.
Yeah, this is another good example of Monday Night Football scheduling this before the season. And maybe not the matchup that you thought it would be coming into the year. We hear A.J. Green is getting close to coming back, which is good for the Bengals. They're just so bad without him. And they have been for a long time. And the Steelers, we'll see. Mason Rudolph, I'm not the biggest believer in him, but I can't say that I'm super excited to go home and listen to this on KGYM radio while I watch it on TV. But it should be a close matchup.
3924 on the text line says it's going to be a sleeper. Let's throw some darts here, courtesy of our friends at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, Iowa. The prop bets are on the board. My favorite is always who's going to score first. You can put down a small amount of money and make a decent return here. Again, you're basically rolling the dice. Every week I like to pick one player from each team, and if you hit it, you can make a decent amount of money. James Conner at 5-1 for Pittsburgh is my choice if the Steelers score the first touchdown tonight. And it's hard to pass up the value of Tyler Eifert at 18-1 to score the first touchdown. That's assuming Cincinnati can get on the board first and everything breaks your way. But 18-1.
What can I get my guy Vance McDonald at of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Vance McDonald of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm doing this from memory.
Well, never mind. He's inactive, so that's he's not going to happen.
There you go. It's not going to help anybody's
he's
fantasy.
He's leading the team in touchdowns, but he's inactive for Monday fortunes. Night Football. Great.
Maybe this is pretty a sleeper. Good. Maybe it's not. It's a pretty good rivalry, all things considered, between these two teams. I'll go Pittsburgh at home. 3.5 points seems a little bit fat for me there. Trying to find some other odds here on there's money to be made tonight. Unfortunately, I don't know where the money is to be made. Juju Smith-Schuster at 4-1 to get in the end zone on the first touchdown of the game. My favorite is always no touchdown scored. That's currently paying back at 75-1. They're 0-3. Somebody's going to get in the end zone tonight. 319-366-1600, the final minute here in the KGYM studios tonight. A reminder, as usual, Tuesdays mean Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeye players meet the media in Iowa City. Matt Campbell and the Cyclones will also address the media in Ames. Iowa State has TCU coming to Jack Trice Stadium this week. The Hawkeyes on the road facing Ann Arbor. And we will have you covered from both angles coming up on tomorrow's program, as well as some more baseball discussion. The wild card game's about to kick off with the Brewers and the Nationals first up. Nationals are a heavy favorite there. There was a report today that they're ready to step up to the plate and offer a huge free agent contract to their own third baseman, Anthony Rendon. We'll see where that goes. A big thank you, as always, to our Monday presenting sponsor on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That would be Randy's Flooring. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Monday Night Football coming your way on our FM frequencies, the Cyclone Coach's Corner Show from Applebee's on 1600 AM.